bopping. Drew and Mike show from the DealsInTheD.com studios once again for Thursday. And it's a huge day because this evening we're in Kego Harbor celebrating Killer Cares at, where are we again?
The Lodge Bar and Grill.
The Lodge, it's such an easy thing to remember. Why am I having a block?
I don't know.
KillerCares.org. A lot of great auction items, including one to be in studio with us and to tend bar with us. And I think there's even a cameo in there for me and for Mickey.
Yeah. Never mind. I want to ask how the sausage is made. Leave that to Matt.
As soon as I make it, I'll tell you. And then also the Drew and Mike store is still open. We had the guarantee period where we promised people we'd get it there before Christmas. I still think some stuff can happen.
Yeah, there's a few items that we, you know, order extra just in case.
Well, I was surprised how quickly Joe got some stuff out last year that was supposedly too late. But anyway, I mean, is everything still available for the most part?
No.
No?
No, not everything. But a lot of items still are.
What went fast?
Everything's sold. But some items I'd rather stock longer than other items. That makes sense. I'm not trying to be cryptic.
I guess I'm confused because I thought we were hoping to sell more, but we don't have any more to sell, really.
We are, but then the other hope is to clear it all out and start fresh in 2020.
Right. Except this strikes me as an on-air meeting.
It is. It kind of is. That I'm not prepared for.
By the way, I love the thermals for the ladies. Those are really cute.
I know. I like the male thermals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ordered a whole bunch of stuff.
Wear that outfit again.
Gary Hoey is coming up in a few minutes. We're going to stay live on Facebook for a while with Gary. And then Mr. Skin later on in the show. He's got his highlights for 2019.
Yeah.
Gary is at the Magic Bag next Friday night, December 13th, with, of course, Hoey, the Christmas Rockin' Holiday Tour. That's right down the street here at the Magic Bag on Woodward in Ferndale. And then on a really bummer note, I was going to mention that Sharon McLean, Denny's wife, passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
And Sharon, she fought for a long time. She had Parkinson's and a number of ailments.
He did so much to help her.
Yeah.
Boy, just seeing people go through that is so hard.
Awful.
But he somehow, I always wonder, how does he get around? How does he get everywhere he's supposed to be? And then took care of Sharon at home. You're right.
Who was his father-in-law, Brandon?
Lou Boudreau.
That's right. Yeah, he loves Lou Boudreau.
The player manager of the world champion Cleveland Indians in 48, maybe?
Yeah.
And then Lou's daughter, Sharon, Denny's future wife, married Cubs second baseman Ken Hubbs in, I think it was before his rookie year. He was rookie of the year.
Really?
Yeah, with the Cubs. And then he was killed in a plane crash in the offseason. Yeah. And then Sharon met Denny. And so, Sharon's been around baseball a long time.
Yeah.
And I've met her a few times. She's very sweet. This is a tough one.
Wow.
Because I think, I think it was tough to be around, but of course it's going to be tough for her not to be around. Everybody understands that. So, And I will mention, we have a Hall Financial Hotline. We'll be active today with Gary Graff tomorrow, too. I think we're going to talk to Gary Graff tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the Kid Rock story, he is not going to be renewed at Little Caesars Arena, his bar.
Yes.
Restaurant?
Yeah, made in Detroit. Kid Rock's made in Detroit.
And we all know why, because he had a drunken rant at his bar last week. And so I think we're going to dig into that. We'll dig into it in a little bit here, too, but see what Gary has to say. And anything else on the Hall Financial Hotline?
We could try Stan, CFL Stan.
Oh, Stan. Yeah, we got to get Stan in somehow. And we talked about it too much not to get it in.
We gave up on calling the Home Depot guy, too, because he just won't answer.
Really?
With that.
I don't know.
As far as...
Lock him up, man. I'm done supporting him. I won't support him anymore because he won't answer his phone.
We are active on the Hall Financial Hotline. And, of course, mortgage rates, interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point this year. Many people feel like, did I miss the boat on refinancing to save money? The answer is no. So you can still do the smart thing. Rates remain super low. They just don't talk about it that much because it's been going on and on and on. So if you'd like to save money for the next 20 years, 25 years, even if it's 10 years, or if you want to make changes, you want to shorten the length of your mortgage, or you want to take money out of your house, first home, dream home, whatever it is, Hall Financial. DrewandMike.HallFG. Give them a shot. Give them a first shot. That's all we're asking of our great sponsors. They want you to have a stress-free holiday. That means lowering your mortgage payment now and maybe even consolidating those credit card debts that have been rising. And David sent us these stats of their last 22 closings. 17 of them were ready to close in 10 days or less. So it could be your own Christmas present. How about that? How about that? Start saving money right away. Incredible turn times, immediate results. DrewandMike.HallFG or click the link to Hall Financial on our website. Fill out the online form. And they'll get back to you in a hurry. 248-308-5000. And David Hall will give me a father very soon, too.
Aww.
Yeah. How about that?
That's so sweet.
How about that?
I'm glad because this should be the beginning of the completion of a dream he told me about, which was we were talking about things long term, and he said, I want to be an offensive coordinator of a football team.
Oh, cool.
So,
well, who needs an offensive coordinator right now then?
Well, hopefully this child will need an offensive coordinator at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, if it's a girl, he could still be offensive coordinator, I suppose.
She could play football. I want to be an offensive coordinator.
I know. I just thought it was really funny. He loves football. Yeah. He's a big sports fan. So that was something he thought.
Scratch golfer, too.
Yeah. He's a jock. And, of course, we've got our, let's see, do we have time? Yes, we do. Our trifectas and locks of the week. Brandon will have his tomorrow. Gabara has his today, his lock of the month, as they're giving you the lock of the month with a never-seen-before trifecta that will more than double your paycheck. Part one gets 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. Part two, on top of the 0% loan, you'll make no payment on your new Ford for 3 months. And then the lock of all locks. In addition to 0% financing, no payment for 90 days, Zotford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. That's right, up to $7,000 in cash when you buy or lease a new Ford. Take that cash, buy your loved ones gifts for the holidays, pay bills, go on vacation, whatever. Get a lower payment. Pick up the phone, call Anthony directly to activate your lock trifecta. Call Anthony at 248-215-5151. That's 248-215-5151 for Anthony. And do it before Brandon tries to kibosh Zotford's Ultimate Lock. Brandon has been hot about it. He's been trying to keep it quiet. They are a sponsor.
I'm taking the high road.
I appreciate that.
That's so nice of you.
Dr. Yellow, there's another Christmas gift for yourself. Maybe you've got vision issues. You want to give yourself 20/20 vision or better in 2020?
Oh, nice.
I know. We should have been using that all year, shouldn't we?
No.
2020 for 2020?
You can use it all next year.
And the only way to have...
What if he used it for 2015 because he got maybe 2015 vision? Better than expected.
Oh, it does happen.
It's better than expected.
It does.
Vision, just saying.
Yep. The only way to have precision near and far vision without glasses, contacts, and those annoying reading glasses is with safe, reliable, state-of-the-art procedures like those you get at the Aldo Eye Center, Michigan's number one eye clinic. Custom LASIK offered by Dr. Aldo gives most patients better than 20/20, and multifocal lens implants exchange for people 45 and older will forever eliminate the need for reading glasses along with the perfect far vision. So if you have a Flex or health savings account that expires at year's end, use it towards the best gift you can give yourself, no matter what you come in for. What procedure it is you come in for. Find out what works for you. Evaluation's free. Get the best. Pay the least. Dr. Yellow will gladly beat any competing offer you may have gotten. 1-800-398-EYES. I love those Arnold drops.
He
anytime.
Sells, he has frames, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
how do I look?
Excellent, of course. In Yellow's frames?
What does it do?
800-398-EYES or go to Yellow Eye Center. .com.
Bill Cox wants
to know. I'll be back.
If we stumbled into the Tom Tabor show.
Oh, come on. It was two commercials.
Well,
it went Tayback.
Chill out.
Tayback.
Yeah.
Tom and Mike Tayback.
Chill out, Dickwad.
We stumble in.
Is that show still alive? We need to check.
I don't want to.
I'm going to listen to him off the air and I'm going to find out.
That's a great comment.
I saw the guy. I was just watching the 11 o'clock news to kind of pick up what I could in the Kid Rock story. I didn't realize the NAACP and you were going to have
Sam
a protest.
Riddle.
I know Sam Riddle always
says. The Riddler strikes again.
Because of the Oprah thing?
Yeah.
I get. What else could it be? Yeah,
they
what
were,
else?
They were protesting. They were going to protest.
Stop whining.
But
where's the Anti-Defamation League? Isn't Joy Behar Jewish? I mean, he's kind of going off on her.
You know what's amazing about...
Oh, yeah. We're...
Sam Riddle?
Yeah.
I think Sam Riddle and Kid Rock would get along famously. I think they would like each other. I really do.
Yeah, they might.
I think they would. They're both extremely colorful. They both like to talk. They're both...
Yeah, if they could lighten up a little, both of them, on both sides.
Well, Kid Rock can certainly lighten up. I don't think...
His Facebook post was just spot on.
Yeah, he...
it really was.
Should we read it? You want to read it now?
You want to do it now?
Do it now?
We could.
We got a couple minutes.
As long as I have the whole thing. Yeah, here he is. I appreciate all who have patronized our place, and I still have much love for the city of Detroit and the people / organizations that I've helped there for years. Black, white, whatever. But I learned long ago, go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. Mm-hmm. I guess the millions of dollars I pumped into that town was not enough. I will let the National Action Network and others go ahead and take the wheel now. Good luck! Which he's basically saying, if you guys think you can do it better, Sam Riddle, National Action Network, go ahead.
Good luck!
Well, totally not going to be as much fun.
He has put his money where his mouth is.
Why
and,
bother?
You know, what I hate, too, is that after this whole thing started a couple years ago, or whenever Little Caesars opened, and he has to actually say, you know what, I've given to charities in Detroit, I gave to... He did it, and he did it quietly
for a long time.
And then all of a sudden, he's got to remind everyone what he does, and it still doesn't matter. People still aren't happy.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say that there isn't enough celebration of everyone going on in the world, more tolerating than celebrating in a general sense.
No.
You know? I want to be celebrated, too.
Basically,
there's no tie. Yeah, Trudy, I understand.
You should be celebrated. Mark should.
I
be
should
fun.
Not.
Everyone should.
And I agree with you, Trudy. We talked about Trudy's desire to no longer be an adult.
I'm you can resign.
You're going to be one of those adult babies? Is
from,
that what you're talking
I am. About? I'm definitely. I that's what I want more than anything is to be an adult baby now.
I understand. I do. It's weird being in that in between zone. You work for someone now, but you have two jobs. So that's one of the things you're irked about. Understandable.
No, I'm not irked so much is that comes with a whole set of problems, and you have to negotiate everything yourself now. Remember concierge service? Remember HR people handling things? Remember those kinds of things?
Yeah.
Or if you were a client of something, they would handle the interface between you and someone else. You didn't have to call and chase things. And
remember when there was no social media? You didn't have to post something all the time?
And that... So,
Sonny, those were crazy times.
I don't think that's irrational either to be demanding that.
It was a few years ago. I talked to someone who worked at 97.1 that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at 105. Well, I'm like, yeah, I want us to post on social media, and I just don't. And he goes, oh, we have to do it. He goes, so what I do every morning when I wake up is I just retweet three things from the Lions, the Red Wings, the Pistons.
Yeah.
It's like, well, doesn't that defeat the purpose of what they want you to do?
It does.
Like,
no,
I still did it.
And you look at the social media, I was looking at some giant account the other day, I can't remember whose it was, and they had like 6 likes and 1 retweet. I mean, they had like 800,000 followers. It might have been Spencer Pratt or some idiot like that. But
do you think it will eventually weed out all those people?
Yeah, I do.
Hurry up and do that?
The part that's weird, though, is that someone like Spencer Pratt from the Hills can go around saying, I have 800,000 followers. I'm an influencer. But then, no one interacts with your account because you're old news.
Isn't it really used for news organizations and media? And I mean, isn't that the good use of Twitter? Breaking news type stuff?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, there's
not
there's
what Spencer
value.
Pratt thinks about.
I know. There's so much garbage.
It's about what a clown thinks about as what he thinks about. It's got to be that dumb.
I think I hear ho, ho,
Hoey.
Gary Hoey.
Hey, man. How are you?
How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing very good, buddy. Good to hear you and great to be on. Thanks.
It's your time of year.
Yes, it is that time. The ho, ho, hoey is upon us.
Rockin' Holiday Tour. You know, I can't believe it's been 23 years since Ho, Ho, Hoey came out.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the same thing. It's actually 24. Next year is going to be 25.
Whoa.
Wow.
And was the Christmas album, was that an order from your mom? Do I understand it that way?
Yeah, it was pretty much. Well, here's the thing. She was the inspiration before she said, you need to do this. Going back to like growing up as a kid, you know, Lowell, Massachusetts, a lot of cold weather. And my mom was always playing the Christmas albums, the vinyl, Elvis, Bing Crosby, you know, Johnny Mathis. So she ingrained it in me. And she'd smoke her non-filtered Pall Mall and drink her Schlitz. And
Schlitz,
you know, Schlitz. And sometimes the record would start skipping on, you know, I'll have a blue, and it would just keep, you know, going for 10 minutes.
No, it sounded like she sent you to her bedroom with an 8-track digital recorder. So I thought, wait, Gary couldn't have been that old when he living at home with his mom, when he did Ho, Ho, Ho. It was just an early in life when you were playing guitar, I guess she thought it would be a nice idea.
Oh, that's really cool, though.
Mom was right.
Yes.
She was absolutely right.
I guess Mom do knows best.
Mom do knows best.
Yes, Moms know best. And, you know, so she was my inspiration for sure. And, you know, she wanted me to do the old. You know, she wanted that kind of thing. And, you know, with all the nice expensive chords. And I just. I grew up on Black Sabbath, so I wanted to rock out, you know?
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
So you nasty it up.
I kind of my guitar went like this. I said, Mom, what if we go... You know, and I picked her up off the floor and...
Did she like it?
You know what? At first, she thought I was crazy. She said, Gary, that sounds a little too evil for Christmas. And I said, but Mom, you know, good and evil can live together. You know, we can go into the bridge and you can do all that. But then we have to go.
Oh, man, does this sound like fun. Wow. And it just took off. I mean, it's been crazy. I don't know what. No, it seems like no one sells records anymore. But you must get a million streams this time of year. Millions and millions.
Well, you know what? It's become a tradition for so many families, so many people. It's an honor for me, honestly. I never knew it would turn into this, just doing it for fun. And the best ideas in life always happen when you do it because you think it's cool. Before I ever played Christmas music in my life, I signed Christmas cards, Gary Ho Ho Hoey. You know, it was just so perfect.
It is the perfect name.
It is. And so I was destined to do this. And when I made the first record, we just thought it was a fun thing to do. We presented to you, my radio friends. You guys started playing it. You caused the whole thing. Because as soon as you started playing it, like, for bumper music, everyone called and said, what is that crazy music? And I thank you. But then it turned into, you know, the whole thing that it has. And I couldn't be happier, man. I love doing it.
Yeah, Detroit was a great market for Gary Hoey, and that goes back to Animal Instinct and everything else, too. And it's funny because I was reading up on you, and it's usually stuff I already know, but I don't know if we talked about the fact that you played with Frankie Benali back in Heavy Bones.
Yes, I worked with Frankie. Quiet Riot was, I guess, on a hiatus at that time. And, yeah, he played on the album with us and played on my single, Hocus Pocus. He played the drums on that album, my first album as well.
I didn't know he was on Animal Instinct.
Yes, he played on my first record, and he was the guy on Hocus Pocus. So just, you know, a great friend and a great guy. And I know he's been battling cancer, and, you know, he's amazing. He's a warrior.
Yeah, he's got pancreatic, and he was very optimistic and suggested that, you know, it was going well. But that's, we know that's a tough, tough deal, so... Right. Certainly yeah. Wishing him the best, but God, that was such a, I mean, have you ever seen his documentary, by the way, Frankie Benali's? He did a documentary about Quiet Riot?
Yeah.
God, I thought it was a great documentary, and it's such a funny story, too, about how people just go in and out of that band, and Frankie's the only one that's always there.
Yes, he is. He's like the backbone, the foundation of that band, and I think even when they were all together, Frankie was the sort of the calm in the storm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, it's unusual for drummers to be so. I mean, it seems like it's unusual for drummers to be in that much of a leadership role. But it was a great watch. Even if you're not a fan of Quiet Riot or heavy music, I thought if you like music docs, I really really enjoyed it. And then you know the whole thing about your career starting too with that first record, which they spent a lot of money on you guys, like $1 million. And it didn't go so well because grunge was really hot at the time. And so you said, can I do this low budget thing? And how much did it cost to make Animal Instinct with Hocus Pocus?
It was probably $15,000.
Oh, wow.
You know, which wasn't even the food budget of the last record, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, what did the other $985,000 go on for the first album that didn't do so well?
Yes, I know. We were just spending money. It was like caviar every night. But, yeah, people were good at spending money back then. And, you know, the timing just wasn't right for that record. So I just said, you know, I'm going to make some guitar music and try to be happy, you know?
Amen. And so yeah. Here we go, December 13th, a week from this Friday at the Magic Bag. And that'll be a great gig. I would assume tickets, if there are tickets left, there probably aren't many. So you might want to jump on that if you haven't.
Yes, come out and see us, man. I mean, there are some tickets left, but, you know, we're going to put on a really fun show. It's really great. The Christmas show, I compare us to, like, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra all the time because they have, like, the laser lights. And I look at them and I go, you know what? We are the opposite of that. We get three dudes with three Santa hats.
Right.
We're going to rock your ass off.
I was just about to ask you about that because you're the first Ho 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 we came out like a year before that. And then they came out where you're kind of like, hey, man, I'm doing guitar and Christmas stuff. Back off.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys have lasers and girls, man.
And a storyteller.
Exactly. Storytelling, you have all the things. So we're like the punk rock of Christmas. We come out, and we come out after the show. We take selfies for free. There's no VIP meet and greet. Everyone's a VIP at the Gary Hoey Show.
They're too Hollywood, man. Trans-Siberian.
Yes, man. They sold out, Al Petrelli, my good friend.
They are big time.
Yeah.
And Gary, by the way, had a selfie on Twitter today wearing a Drew and Mike shirt.
Oh, cool.
Really nice.
Did you catch that, man?
I did.
Was like, I'm going on the show. I wanted those people to let them know what is up, man.
I tweeted that sucker right out there. So
yay.
Everybody knows.
Gary, being a rocker, what do you make of like rock music today? And I don't know what was that last award show? American Music Awards?
Yeah.
And all the rock artists were like, well, that's not rock. I mean, what do you make of the state of rock music?
Well, you know, I think it's funny because music keeps going in waves and trends all the time. I see it. But I think now we live in a different time where you can kind of listen to radio, you can listen to your guys on the way to work, whatever you like to listen to, or you can listen to satellite radio. My son, I don't know what he's listening to, but he's on that phone nonstop. And I just think people can cater to their taste more now. Is that weird? I mean, I think it's more of a boutique world. So I think make all the rock you want to make out there, kids, you know, because I'd love to see a band come out that's a little more careless and a little more reckless with the rock and a young band to do that. And I think the state of rock and roll is wherever you want it to be, but I do think it's in a good state because I'm seeing more and more young guitar players, you know, coming to the shows and sending me messages that, you know, they want to play.
There was a story in the news. We were talking about Billie Eilish and she didn't know who Van Halen was, which I was kind of a surprise. But then there was a story about Eddie and he's bought one album in the last, what was it, Drew?
33 years.
33 years. How many albums has Gary Hoey bought in the last 33 years?
Oh, man, I buy a lot of music. I have a huge, giant CD collection. I don't know what I'm going to do. They're going out of fashion now. But I buy lots of music and I download lots of music. Like if my friends come out with an album, I hit download. I like the new Eric Gales record and Kingfish and, you know, anybody that I know that puts out a record, I just buy it.
So who are you voting for in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Just out of curiosity. Do you know who
you
they
know,
are?
I saw the email. I saw the list of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, you know, they all should be in there. Everyone on the list was awesome.
You're right.
Okay.
Well, naturally, we're rooting for the MC5, being Detroit guys.
And Soundgarden.
Oh, okay. Is there a few that don't belong on there?
No. I think they're all very deserving candidates. It's just hard when you can only, you know, put so many in because we know there's so many who belong in that can't even get nominated. But MC5 have been nominated, what, four times?
And they're at the bottom
of
the list. So
yeah. Does anybody know, am I on that list?
Not yet. But,
am I on the bottom? I mean, way down at the very, very bottom?
I'll look again, but I don't think so.
It has been 25 years. You are eligible if someone wants to nominate you.
Well, imagine that Ho Ho Ho, he comes out 25th anniversary. They're like, okay, kid, you're the only one that did it. Here you go.
It is an interesting career you've managed to put together. I mean, starting with, you know, the album that bombs and then the album that takes off, made for 15 grand, and then the Christmas stuff. You're all over the map, but hey, it's working, right? You're a musician and that's you're making a living. I always say that's a huge bonus, no matter what.
It really, you know what it is, and for me, man, I'm playing music, and this is what I do, but I also write, you know, write for ESPN Sports. I just finished 10 tracks for ESPN. I'm producing, you know, records, Lita Ford's next album, and So I do a lot of different stuff. I'm teaching, I'm mentoring. So I think in life, you know, like I feel like your career never stops going. Every part of your life is your evolution of whatever you're doing. And I love the scale that I'm doing it on. I think it's perfect for my life, and my kids know who I am. You know, they know their dad, and I wouldn't trade that for superstardom ever.
How long does it take you to crank out 10 tracks for ESPN? I mean, are you watching highlights and playing along with them, or are you just like, oh, this is a sweet lick. Here's one track.
No, man. I'm usually like panicked and trying to get it done in 10 days, and I'm watching like NBA and going, how did they do that?
Can you play really a track scary. For us?
Yeah.
Play an ESPN track for us?
You mean like one that I have on my guitar or one that I did for them?
Yeah, one that you did for them.
Okay. Like over the phone?
Yeah. Sure. Well, weren't you cranking away there a couple minutes ago?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you mean like play one on my guitar? I'll play one on the guitar for you. That sounds good. Okay, so here's one that I created for them that's goes on. It's kind of a grungy thing.
Yeah. That seems way too cool for you.
I was just thinking.
Is that for highlights?
It's got to be an MMA highlight or something.
Where would they use it, and how deep down in the mix are they playing that?
Well, I happen to do some tracks that were more like kind of Delta sort of swampy blues, mm-hmm. So I don't know if they're going to use it for the rodeo. but if I've had stuff all over, you know, Summer X Games, Winter X Games, like you said, full contact sports. It's all over the place. I have about 55 songs with them right now.
How exciting is it to turn on ESPN and hear one of your tracks underneath something?
Oh, it's the best. I mean, if I hear something on the TV, I'm just like, cha-ching, thank you.
here's one he did.
Going to stay in college.
Here's one he did for the NBA. That was a great one.
Gary Singer, like too.
Yeah. I love that one. I came up with this other one, but they wouldn't accept it. It goes like this. I don't know if it'll go anywhere.
That's cool. Somebody might have stolen that from you. I'm not sure.
Could you imagine if you wrote that? Come on, let's just talk right now. Imagine if you wrote that.
I wonder what
whoever wrote that.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Yeah, do they get paid every time that thing plays?
Yeah.
Dude, it's serious, serious money. TV money is different than radio money. Nothing against you guys and all the radio friends, but it's a much different royalty. It's like 1,000 times more. It's incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're getting a lot of work done for a lot of people and staying busy, because I know you love to work and you love what you do. And that's why we're excited for you to be here in just, let's see, 8 or 9 days on the 13th.
Yay. At the I can't bag. Wait, man.
Yeah. Call for tickets if you don't have them. And if you're going, be sure to say hi to Gary. And I think I might just sneak down the road and go myself, Gary.
Well, I would love to see you. And I want to say I miss my dear Mike, and love Trudy, love you, Mark, and you guys just been, you know, so great to me for so many years. So,
well, Gary, likewise,
we love you too.
Yeah, you're one of our all-time faves. I don't know why, it's just always worked, and it will
family.
Continue.
We're family.
You got it.
Play some exit music.
Forget about it. We're family. Okay.
Play yourself off.
Let's have some coffee. We'll talk. We're family. We're family. It's my new single.
Hey, thanks, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Oh, thank you guys so much, man. All the best.
We'll see you in a few days.
Bye.
I can't wait.
All right, Gary Hoey, Ho Ho Hoey, in the Ho Ho Hoey Rockin' Holiday Tour at the Magic Bag. Boy, that blues record did really well.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, Neon Highway Blues.
It was cool.
Mm-hmm. It was a great album.
I was surprised I could put it on. I liked the first song, and there were a couple other tracks I really dug.
Yeah, it is really
good. I like the respect they show his background music too during highlights on ESPN when someone gets injured, and they always kill the music while they talk about the injury. And then then the highlights start back up again. It's like, let's rock again! That always a little silly that they kill the music for
I know
an injury highlight.
Well, it's a lot of awkwardness.
Just don't show it then.
But speaking of music, what about the Detroit School of Rock and Pop music? And Christmas coming up, and maybe someone you love would like to be taking music lessons or jamming with other musicians that they can't seem to find in their own life. Well, why don't you call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 888-988-ROCK or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com and set up some lessons for your adult rocker. Or maybe you've got a kid, or I think the child parent combination is a good one too, because then you're both going down there once, maybe bonding a little bit over music, which is something you can do forever and ever and ever. Playing music is always on someone's bucket list or one of their New Year's resolutions. So think about the Detroit School of Rock and Pop. They do have adult scholarships available, gift certificates available also, so you can give the gift of music this holiday season. And as always, stop practicing, start performing, and start rocking now! Call Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 1-888-988-1-888-988-ROCK. Or Detroit School of Rock and Pop.com.
So there you go. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Really?
And that too. Okay.
So anything else on the Kid Rock thing? Are we done with it?
No.
I don't know.
I want to talk to Graf about it tomorrow because Gary, I'm sure, knows a lot more about it. I watched the news story last night on two different stations, and I don't think they had announced already this morning, and people were sending me this. And I like when people, even though that's a story we wouldn't miss, I like it when people send it because I can tell by the volume of emails how interesting a story is. I mean, I think it sort of helps set the table. I mean, we would have talked about it anyway. But the announcement this morning that the restaurant will not be renewed in April was obviously timed to say that, yeah, we know this is a drag and, you know, this is really messy. And they even had some things in the story that said, we're going to bring in a new restaurant that is compatible with the populace of the city and
the subtext,
and that is inclusive. And I don't remember exactly
who's
how they said it.
who's opening it?
I don't think they know who's opening it.
Of course they don't.
The suggestion just was that it's a backhanded way of saying this restaurant is not representative of Detroit. Yeah. When the fact of the matter is, Kid Rock, are you kidding me? Really? I mean, I can't believe how far this narrative has gone, that Kid Rock is this horrible, racist person. And I don't think it ever would have gotten there if he wasn't a Trump supporter.
No.
A vocal Trump supporter.
Nope.
Is his son black?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a child that's black.
Mm-hmm. The NAACP gave him the award.
Mm-hmm. Well, today Al Sharpton clapped back.
That's the other thing.
He's shrinking Al Sharpton.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
That's really interesting because he did write in his Facebook post. Where's it at? And I'm glad he mentioned this. I told Drew before the show. I had the story came out last week. We never got to touch on it. Was how much Al Sharpton makes off the National Action Network.
Yeah, the organization that Kid Rock, since they don't like what he does, he has rolled out the red carpet for them to take up where he left off in terms of giving to the city of Detroit and helping some of these causes that he is so... He's been incredibly generous. I remember him doing the Comerica Park shows. That was out of the blue.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
He was not doing stadium tour. He wanted to help downtown because it was... Was that around 2010 or somewhere in there?
Yeah. And wasn't the ticket price really low, too?
It always is.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems to me that at that time... it was a big boon for the neighborhood, too, which everybody was hurting then. And it was, you know, one of those, it was like Kid Rock stock. And was Eminem on that? Did he do a show with Eminem? No.
I don't remember who
was on that bill.
Eminem showed up at a couple of them, but Cypress Hill was one and Skynyrd was the other.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I just remember it was a very cool bill. The place was jammed, and they had events outside before the show for hours.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So the area could enjoy some commerce. He's always been a pro-Detroit guy. And why? You know, it's like the tweet I read the other day where someone said, you know, it's obviously about Oprah because he said something shitty about Oprah. And honestly,
which was a little weird.
It was, and it was out of left field, and I don't even know why. I don't know why that happened, but he was drunk.
No one's allowed to make a mistake.
No,
it's basically.
Yeah, got to shut the restaurant down. Yeah. That'll fix it.
Hey, the funny part is I heard him. What his comment was, him actually saying, He really doesn't sound drunk when he's drunk, too. Did he?
No, I didn't think he sounded that bombed.
Not sloppy or slurring or anything like that.
I think there was a little video of him being helped out of the club.
Oh. I thought he looked more drunk than he sounded, I guess. I don't know.
I thought he looked like Kid Rock to me. I mean, just looked like fairly
the
normal.
End of the video, he is kind of sitting down and he needs, you know.
He's a little sloppy. Yeah.
He even admitted that he drinks too much.
No, he did, and he said, and he talks shit.
Yeah.
And he does. And apparently you're not allowed to do that anymore, or you have to close your restaurant. So someone more representative can move in.
The rest of his post is, after the whole thing about the National Action Network and others, go ahead and take the wheel. Good luck, he wrote. I may be guilty of being a loudmouth jerk at times, but trying to label me as racist is a joke. And actually only does a disservice to the black community, which I've supported my entire life, by trying to alienate myself and many others. P.S., hey, Al Sharpton, you or your cronies will never beat me, you tax-evading, race-baiting clown.
Well, interesting.
Then he wrote Trump 2020, and then he wrote $250,000 donated to Eastern Market for the Kid Rock Community Kitchen, $250,000 donated for the Barbara Bush Reading Initiative in Detroit, $1 million raised.
Which, by the way, I never heard that before. Why he has to come out and point out all the things that he does is...
because no one else is pointing him out.
Right.
Besides, you know,
but there was never a need to point it out.
Exactly.
Because we knew he did great things.
Trying to paint him
things.
As a bad person for the city, and he's just not. He's not. If you want to disagree with his politics, which I disagree with some of the politics, but fine. I still like him as a person.
I wish he was wish he was unassociated with politics
racist.
Myself.
It's just
but,
a joke.
You know, if he wants to say what he wants to say, he
fine.
Can say it.
Yes, exactly.
And it never used to be a crime to support a political candidate who actually ascended to the presidency.
Well, remember.
That was never a thing.
This is what they do, though. The National Action Network wouldn't exist if they didn't attack people like this.
And the National Action, Sharpton, what does he get paid for?
Did you look at
this?
That article or no?
No, you were telling me about it, and I wasn't the least bit surprised. He always cashes in on these charitable efforts, which most people like Kid Rock don't do. They just give, and they get a tax write-off.
What do you think his salary was last year from the National Action Network?
Al Sharpton?
Yeah. According to the New York Post, who looked at the tax filings.
I'm sure it's a few $100,000 at
$1,046,948.
Whoa, what?
He got $324,000 in a salary, which was 32% higher than 2017.
Based on what? Does he, like, come to work every day at 9 and leaves at 5?
Oh, I'm sure, Trudy. I'm sure.
Hey, guys, really, come on.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
He got basically $160,000 bonus and $563,000 in, quote, other compensation.
Oh, other.
Remember, they are a nonprofit.
Yeah, so they enjoy certain advantages. And I've never really understood why it is that at nonprofits, people are allowed to be paid so much effing money.
I don't either. And the problem
but
is they
do become businesses.
They publicly file, and it always comes out. So their defense was the National Action Network said it hired an executive compensation firm that determined the good reverend was owed $1.252 million. But he was so generous in taking $500,000 less, so he's also a hero. He has now been fully compensated for all the years he was underpaid and received no bonus. So the Post is like, okay, we're gonna go back and look at everything then, because Al Sharpton said 15 years since 2004 when I came back after running for president, he didn't take any bonus or any money. So they went back and looked, and it's a flat out lie. It's just a lie.
He also makes money doing things related to that, like TV shows and radio shows and networks. So I don't know why he has to take money from this organization. I
forgot that he sold the rights to his own life story.
Yes,
to
the
National
NAN.
Network for $500,000.
Wait, he sold it to the organization who pays him?
Yeah, the charitable, the nonprofit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. And what have they done with it, I wonder?
I don't know. I can't wait till that movie
honestly,
comes out.
I don't think that's a movie that's going to be that flippin' interesting. Just my opinion.
Come on, Drew.
They took in $7.3 million in donations.
Oh, wow.
Donations.
So how much did
they
give to the schools?
Yeah, one in every $7 goes to him.
Goes to him.
Yeah.
And there's a couple secretaries and administrative people that work there and maybe a couple of VPs, and I wonder what percentage of the money that goes into NAN really goes out to somebody that needs it.
Community.
Here's the final paragraph. Sharpton has been paying down millions in his own personal federal and state tax liens In June, he finally paid off his personal tax debt to the state, which stood at $95,000. He still owes about $700,000 in back taxes for three of his companies, according to the state tax department.
And there's
nice charity.
Since we're on the topic, why not mention Tawana Brawley, where it all started, where Reverend Al Sharpton, he made his name. No one knew who he was until he got behind this 15-year-old girl who said that she didn't come home for a couple days because some white men were smearing feces on her and raping her. Well, the story turned out to be not true because she was out partying and she didn't want to come home late and get in trouble.
What year was that?
86, 87.
So that was before the NAN started.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a long time ago. And then it kind of got to, no. This was much later. In the interim, it was, and a policeman raped her. And then this got so crazy because I want to say it was a grand jury that came to the conclusion that this didn't happen.
Right.
But
then she said,
no, he didn't say sorry. He never really said sorry.
That didn't work out. Then. Yeah,
no, it didn't work out.
Did that say that?
Well, didn't they say the prosecutor was the one then?
Yeah, he said the prosecutor raped her.
Oh.
The prosecutor.
Whoa, really?
And meanwhile, while all this is going on, people are donating money to the Brawley family, which is what? Honestly, I remember at the time it seemed crazy to me, especially once the story was being questioned. It's like, what does this have to do with giving them money to pay Al Sharpton?
Well, that's because people are going to say, well, they do good work. They bring to light,
the Brawley family.
No. I mean the National Action Network. But it's like, couldn't they do that without some of the controversies of money? And
I know. Well, anyway,
did he comment?
So the prosecutor.
Oh, okay. Go. Yeah.
Who people began protesting his house.
Yeah.
He was really terrorized to some degree through this accusation, which I can't imagine why anyone believed it. It's so ridiculous. The prosecutor raped her? I thought it was a cop. I thought it was four guys. What? Anyway, after all this sort of cleared, the prosecutor sued for defamation, and he won.
Yeah.
He won a judgment of, I think it was $369,000. And it was short of $400,000, but it was, and Al Sharpton.
$345,000.
Okay. Al Sharpton was the one who really laid it on. Really laid it on. He lost the defamation suit.
Huh.
So he never paid a penny. Didn't pay a penny for years, I think decades. And when he finally paid the judgment, it was his supporters who paid it off, not him.
Johnny Cochran and other business leaders.
Yeah, they paid it. He didn't pay it.
Oh, yeah, don't forget, too, that they get a lot of their donations from corporations that have been threatened boycotts.
So that's the Jesse Jackson template.
Yes, it is. Well, he got his kid a
Budweiser distributorship. Yeah, when Budweiser was in trouble.
What?
Sharpton still says that he believes the grand jury got it wrong.
Okay, great. Cool. Well, you're wrong.
Is that why he's shrinking? There's got to be some reason for that.
All those lies?
It's like a Pinocchio
effect.
I'm going
to go on that diet. I'm going to start lying about everything.
But back to Kid Rock.
Did he comment on it today, Al Sharpton?
I'm sure he did. What did he
say?
TMZ caught up with him today.
He's going to be clueless.
So the beginning of it is a little hard to hear, but here it goes.
Our organization absolutely unequivocally protested his using the Confederate flag. We successfully got General Motors to cut ties. Anyone that uses the flag of slavery, of lynching, ought not be one that is celebrated or welcomed. And if he's leaving Detroit and because of our protest, we consider that a success. I think he tweeted that we would never beat him. Somebody ought to give him a newsflash. We already have. General Motors, 7 ties, and he's leaving Detroit. I think that's 2-1, 2-0, really, Mr.
Wait,
Kid
pause
Rock.
For a second.
You're losing.
Wait, so the battle is versus Kid Rock. Are we losing the forest for the trees here?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nicer if Kid Rock continued this valuable resource for the city of Detroit?
Why don't you work with him and help the city if that's what's important?
It's just another extension of cancel culture. He's saying,
it is.
we And by the way, he's not forced out of the city of Detroit. He will play concerts. And that's the other thing about this. He has to play nice with LCA and with DTE, right? I mean, that's the only game in town. So the deck's a little bit stacked here. And I, in some ways, it's a double-edged sword with Kid Rock. I wish he didn't say stupid things on stage. It wasn't anything that horrible. I just don't know why the context and why somebody has to push a record button and, of course, send it out to the whole world. And I knew as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem for him. This is just him being dumb and drunk, but this is going to be a problem.
But to that point, he apologized. You know, does that
I agree. I know
we agree on that, but I just mean in general, why does that not count for anything? No one's allowed to make a mistake.
I get that. I think it's one of these things where the city of Detroit or certain people representing the city of Detroit, and you could throw in various journalists who have blasted him for being a racist. This is something that just started sticking a little more, a little more, a little more. And they keep bringing up the Confederate flag thing. That's a long time ago. Yeah. He apologized for that, too. He's not the only guy who has ever, you know, the rebel flag. And I tried to get into this, and it's a difficult topic. I remember a lot of people had Confederate flags in college when I was at Virginia Tech, just on their wall. Oh, it was like a rebel thing. It wasn't like people going, yeah, slavery, yeah. It wasn't like that, and I'm not trying to make excuses.
What it means, though.
It's like getting the Che Guevara T-shirt. You think you're badass, but you're not thinking about what it's about.
You don't know the meaning behind the thing.
I don't think most people that wave the Confederate flag or have it on their shirt, I don't think they have any idea what it means, really. I think they think it means they're badass or they're tough or something. And
it does look cool.
It is a cool flag. It is.
Wow.
When I was a kid, I used to get Zippos, and I really wanted the Confederate flag Zippo because I thought it looked really cool.
Educate yourself, man.
Like the Dukes of Hazzard.
I love it still.
You're a racist. No, I know.
David Harbin have one too?
I don't recall.
Almost Al.
I do remember when I got to Virginia Tech, too, a lot of people said, hey, Yankee down here. I was like, Yankee?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right, yeah.
And when I lived in Charlotte, and my brother went to South Carolina, so he spent some time there, and it was always this Yankee thing. I'm like, you lost the fucking war. Why do you keep calling me a Yankee? Yeah. What is this Yankee thing? Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird.
I didn't understand that much either. But.
So, you know, I don't want to suggest that Kid Rock is perfect because I don't think he is. I don't think he would suggest he is. But he certainly puts his money where his mouth is, and he's been a good guy, and he's been very charitable. And why that's not enough for some people, I mean, I think there are just a lot of people, once he was aligned with Trump, they just want to take him down, just do anything. And this whole thing about keeping score, Al Sharpton completely misses the point. Completely. Because he's saying, look, I'm pulling my charitable efforts out of Detroit. This is such a negative albatross. Mm-hmm. I'm closing my restaurant down, and I'm looking for you. Put your money where your mouth is and do what I did. And Al Sharpton thinks the win or the loss is him closing down his restaurant.
Yeah.
No, he's not talking about that. And it'd be nice if Al Sharpton said, hey, well, you know what we'll do? We'll give this much money to the city of Detroit right now. But he's not going to do that because they can't do that.
And that's what Kid said in his post. Take the wheel. Good luck.
What else did Al say? Was there more? I think there was more.
You seem to be keeping her cool. Do you take this personal? I mean, he took a pretty big shot at Jerry.
TMZ idiots.
It's not about being personal. It's not about being personal with me. I think it's personal with him. He took personal attacks at me and the organization. I wouldn't dignify someone waving a Confederate flag that has to leave his hometown by getting personal with him.
Is there anything he could do to make this right?
I think that he should denounce the Confederate flag, say he was wrong, and to go on these tirades against Oprah and everyone, and then to turn around and talk about he gave millions of dollars. You can't pay for the right to wave a flag of the Confederate. He can dish it, but he can't take it. He wants to rant at people. He wants to call names. When people come back and expose who he is, he runs and
expose who he is,
squeaking and squealing like somebody that was caught in a hunt. You can't take it. You shouldn't get in the ring, Kid Rock. You got in the ring and waved the flag, a Confederate flag, at people, and you got beat. Take it like a man. Oh, I forgot. You're a kid.
Oh, I see.
And oh, God, what a day.
You're the guy who played this game with this phony story with a 15-year-old to put yourself on the map. There was no inherent talent in Al Sharpton.
Yeah, you got
other
beat.
Other than bullshitting people.
You got beat.
And raising money on the basis of a false accusation. And what does he do? Has he ever apologized?
No.
No.
Take it like a man.
So,
yeah.
God.
Hey, this is a sidebar to rock and roll. Kind of a good thing. Okay. And the world's worst kept secret about Motley Crue, Def Leppard.
What?
Going on tour. Well, they have actually announced it officially now, and the date in Detroit is August 20th at Comerica. And Def Leppard, Motley Crue, and Poison.
Hey, that'll be a big show.
You said August 20th?
August 20th.
I didn't know Def Leppard was going to be with Motley Crue. Was that known?
It's a Thursday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. All
Poison
three of them.
Too?
And Poison. And tickets are going on sale December 13th, so right away.
Wow.
So.
Did you say Comerica Park?
Comerica.
Yeah.
That's a monster show. That's a big show.
Well, that's yeah, but those three bands themselves.
Yeah.
And by the way,
22,000.
It's going to be backstage. There's going to be so much Aquanet in the air.
There's going to be
all
no
that hair.
They're going to tear up that whole field. There's going to be no grass left.
Yeah.
Damn.
So they made the big announcement today at 4:30. They've been teasing it, but everybody kind of knew what was going to happen.
What's the name of the tour?
It's the Stadium Tour 2020.
So I'm predicting on August 21st, we're going to get a story about how the field is all cut up for the Tigers, and they can't play the remaining
and
home games.
And there'll be 500 games out of first place, so I don't really care anyway.
I want to go to that show.
Isn't that always the story of DTE? Whenever Poison played there, there was never any sod left.
Poison?
Yes, it was always.
Yeah, there were a couple bands.
There's never any beer left by the end of the Poison.
Oh, that's right,
They'd always tell people, stop throwing the sod,
yeah.
But people pick it up and like literally hurl it. Grass bombs.
A lot of it has to do too with there being a lot of rain around a show. Makes the sod a little looser. And,
That's the. It assumes though that Vince Neil is going to lose the 40 pounds. And he does not look like he's close to that at all.
He needs to start lying. Like,
did you see he was in the hospital and he had his.
He was?
He had to get his hand fixed. He has Dupuyen's, which is. When your hand just like turns into a claw, basically,
weird.
And
you have
to go in and fix it.
Like Bob Dole?
Kinda.
Wow.
Yeah, like Bob Dole.
He doesn't play an instrument, right?
But he,
No.
But he has to hold a microphone. But he was, it had a selfie of him when he was.
What if he, what if,
hospital gown and, oh my God, didn't he look huge?
What if it did come down to like a Bob Dole situation? So he carried a microphone everywhere.
Where
like Bob Dole carried a pen. Remember that?
And just picked it up every time and went, hey. If he has to do that, it has to be plugged into a speaker that he's got an amp he's got to wear around his neck. Like a little small speaker.
All right. Just
or a
for
Britney
funsies,
thing,
just
a headset.
Yeah, like Mr. Microphone.
What's the over under? What's the over under of Hayes for his latest cameo?
One and a half. It's always one and a half.
I'll take the over. He's going to be two.
Oh, no. It's two and a half.
It's got to be two because it's either. Yeah. It's got to be two and a half.
Are these new?
This is a new one.
I'm going to go under.
Hey, Jake. This is Vince Neil from Motley Crue.
Pretty stuck
hey
on too.
I wish you a very happy birthday on
you?
New Year's Eve, and this is from Jess, Veronica, and Itchy. So have a great birthday and take care, man. We'll see you soon. Keep rocking.
He has an extensive hat collection, by the way.
And that 22 seconds cost $400.
Wow, well, good for him, man.
He's so phone set in.
I know.
Play one more.
Hey, Glenn, this is Vince Neil here. Hey, buddy, happy 50th birthday. Very cool, man. I went through one of those myself. You have a body shop at the Marble Arch, and girls. Anyway, I hope you like that song. Have a great birthday, and keep rocking.
Wow.
Since we're here, can you do Brian Austin Green? I just want to see if he's...
And he's always worth checking.
Up a little bit. He's trying a little harder now.
Oh, man. No, this isn't a
look
new
at,
one.
Look at that face. He has that angry face every time. In every frozen position, he looks unhappy.
I don't think these are new.
He's so miserable.
All right, this is back by Jason. This is for Daniel. Thank you for the character of David Silver. You're very welcome.
Plus
thank you much.
So who are these people who...
I don't know.
20... over 20 years later going, oh my God, David Silver, I love that character on 90210. I so relate to him. It's such a stupid character.
His cameo price point is about right for what I can spend.
And I think that, honestly, Brian Austin Green also thinks it's stupid. I really do.
Oh, he hates it. Yeah.
But he's learned to live with it.
Did you see who's new today?
Oh, my God. There's some good new ones.
Bentley texted me immediately out of pure excitement.
Pee-wee Herman?
Yes.
Oh!
Although Pee-wee... Oh. Pee-wee...
I'm Paul Rubens, also known as Pee-wee Herman. Ah! I'm on Cameo now, so I hope you come and check me out, won't you?
So Pee-wee put it on Facebook today that his good friend Paul Rubens is on Cameo. So I didn't know, would he be doing him as Paul or as Pee-wee?
Let's hear one.
Oh, cool.
I'm here to congratulate you, Andrew. Congratulations.
He's talking to you.
It's incredible. Congratulations! Congratulations! Congratulations, Andrew, from Jasmine and Nick.
Not a lot of work put into that, but...
No.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Dashing through the snow, silent night. Jingle bells, rum bum bum bum. Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Moya, from Beverly and Jan.
Yeah, he's $175.
Can we finish Brian Austin Green?
Oh, yeah.
When he goes on a tangent, it's so funny. He gets lost in his tangents.
He doesn't even want us to finish it.
I just played him for 10 years. I didn't write any of them.
I was playing for 10 years.
Can you please wish my husband Daniel a happy 40th birthday? Happy 40th.
Ridiculous.
It's a big year.
That's an ad lib.
That's still young. 40. I'm 45.
No, I'm still sleeping, man.
You'll see. And mention that he is so
Just read the script.
Yeah.
You can't ad lib.
You're so precious to Jason. Of course, that was his idea for me to say. Not mine, but...
Oh, my God.
Really?
You are so precious to Jason.
So precious.
I thought you knew that. And you were just ad libbing again.
I hope all is well. Hope you have a good day. Good time. Bye.
Mm. He's trying to somehow be worth... How much does it cost?
$500.
$100?
Who the...
Oh, that's money to throw away like that. Who else is new? Brain?
Someone that loves David Silver.
This is a great new one today. Check this out.
This is John McAfee, and I'd like to wish everyone in the crypto community
is that your uncle?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
$20. Buy one now and make sure he says something about the hammock. I'm serious, Brandon.
$20?
Here's my credit card.
$20?
Yes. Buy one now.
Why is he on there?
He needs money.
Because he's insane and he needs something to do with his spare time.
This is the guy who started... Did he have... It was an internet security...
McAfee, yeah. The virus.
He was a multi-millionaire.
And then he went crazy.
Went a little crazy.
After doing lots and lots of drugs.
Did a lot of drugs, yeah.
Do you think he's
like young women, too.
Yeah. And he killed a guy.
Do you think... Oh, yeah, he did.
Did kill a guy.
He killed a guy.
He acted so psycho that he was able to somehow escape. Because they
by burying himself in the sand. that was nutty.
It's the craziest documentary.
It's great.
It is really. But he apparently enjoyed having women defecate through a hole in a hammock while he was underneath.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, man?
That was the old Danny Thomas routine, except he liked the glass table, and I don't think there was a hole in the glass table.
He
took Danny Thomas another step.
Danny Thomas is making these commercials now, and it's so...
He's still alive?
Why?
No, those are old commercials, but they replay them. I know, it's so weird. Danny Thomas, the last guy in the world you would have ever... See, that's when I learned that people sexually got off on people defecating was when I heard that Danny Thomas liked being underneath a glass table while a woman defecated. Otherwise, I never would have known that anyone would like that.
Yeah.
Danny Thomas it was like he was a forerunner to me. But then I read about it in Please Kill Me, too, the punk rock book.
Yeah, who liked it?
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed, yeah.
Apparently. That's what someone said. He wanted them to be his David Cassidy, which, does that mean David Cassidy liked defecating in someone?
It's weird.
Someone? Or he got sexual pleasure out of defecating?
Who ever liked that, and why?
I don't know.
I don't mean to be a square, but...
I think it's true. That's a little square of you, I gotta say.
Lived like that before? No.
There you go.
living in this big house and having trips and stuff that
Gringo is the name of the documentary available on Netflix right now.
Didn't meet Mr. John.
Had you ever lived like that before?
No.
Had you ever had sex for money prior to that or?
No. That was my first time. I was ashamed, but then I got used to it.
What did he have you do?
I said this was your first time.
Sit on this hammock. The hammock has a hole.
Yeah, we put in a hammock.
We know what a hammock is.
Then after that, he lies down on the hammock. Then he,
Yeah, come on, say it.
You know, he would cut a little hole.
Yeah, say it.
And he would sit there.
Yeah, say it.
That's what he used it for.
Yeah, what?
Because he wanted to have, like, scat sex, and I didn't agree with that.
Scat sex.
What is scat sex?
I mean, you poop in someone's mouth.
Oh! He used to make you shit in his mouth. Like that.
She tried to get around it.
That one took massive dumps,
I've never had done that before.
Right, Trudy?
It was an experience for me. Yes. He puts his head under your butt and...
How much more is there really to say about this?
As much as they want to tell
us. Did he ever have regular intercourse?
Put the crystal porn alert on.
No. None of that.
Never had regular
sex. So does McAfee blow up when he sees it?
Hey, don't call him McAfee. Come
on. That's your uncle.
Oh, boy. Okay,
Anna Faris almost died. It could have been me.
That's right. Why could it have been you?
I don't know, because we could have a gas leak at any moment.
Oh, that's true. You see that?
Be anybody.
Yes, she almost died. Gas leak in her house.
How
it could
they
have
know
been
she
me, because
was...
I can't smell gas. Mark came in and smelled it one day. I would have died.
Bad.
Oh, my God.
Your stove is on. Your oven upstairs.
So how do they know? I'm being facetious, but how do they know? Because she sometimes acts stupid, so how do they know she was being affected?
They thought the family or everybody just had, like, food poisoning, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Watching it on CBS Sunday morning, it's just, or this morning or whatever, it's just, it was extra dramatic because the one guy said, even with the windows open, it was five times the amount you should have in your house.
Oh, wow.
Who cares if it's two times the amount?
I don't know. If with Anna Faris, for some reason, it sounds like her fault. I don't know why.
Like she stumbled over. Yeah.
Anyway, you know, it's funny the girl describing that. she sounds, you can tell she's going through this whole thing like, well, I thought it was really odd, you know, at first. But, you know, like he goes, hey, I'll give you $300 if you'll shit in my mouth through this hammock.
Oh.
And she goes, I need the money. I mean, yeah, I guess so. I'll do that.
Gotta
and
go.
And eventually it's like, oh, excellent. You want me to? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's a job. It's just, and it's probably very awkward.
What kind of food do they eat in Costa Rica, by the way?
Beans. Lots of beans. Lots of beans. And rice.
Well, look it up.
I got two more quick ones. I'll be so fast. Check this out.
Stapp here.
What?
I am new to Cameo.
Scott Stapp.
So hit me up for a shout out.
Stapper!
Cream!
Hit him up.
What's
yet?
Up, everybody? Scott Stapp here.
$150 for Scott Stapp.
Stapper!
Buy one. Make him say something about Denny's.
It's like he's doing...
me at Denny's anytime.
He is doing some.
And then this guy. Let's see.
What? Jim Brown.
I'm truly excited because this will allow me to have a more intimate relationship with my fans.
Wow.
You.
How much do these cost?
So come join me on Cameo.
Jim Brown, $500.
Jim Brown trying to be sexy?
Oh, he was.
Trudy production.
Today, man, chicks dug him.
He had production.
Hey, holidays are a time for caring, sharing, giving gifts to the ones we love, and our friends and original studio sponsors at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsNiddy.com are doing just that, sharing their love, giving you the gift of employee pricing for everyone on most 2019 models in stock. Lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition for $198 a month. Or if it's Jeeps, lease a new 20 Jeep Cherokee Limited all-wheel drive for just $189 a month. And if you're like Alan and you want to roll in the Mac Daddy of Jeeps, lease a 20 Jeep. A 20?
Really?
A 20 Jeep Grand Cherokee. As low as $255 a month. Go celebrate the holidays with employee pricing for everyone with no discount code needed. Only at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and deals in the D.com. And you can also give yourself the gift of looking better.
Oh, somebody had so much fun writing up the holiday specials at Dr. Roche's office. First, the Breast Wishes Special.
Hey!
Saline implants, $3,500. Yes. Santa surgery specials, too many to list. Come in for your consultation with Dr. Roche to find out more, and you can put a bunch of them together and look completely renewed when you come back from Christmas break. Christmas Glow, that's BBL, broadband light. Three treatments, corrective, three treatments of photo revelation for only $1,000. Regularly twice that much, and then some. Ho, 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 Diva Special.
Ho, ho, ho. Very good.
Three treatments, $4,500, but they're on special for $3,500, and you still get a free G-spot. Ho, ho, ho. And a holiday skin rejuvenation product special. They've got free microdermabrasion with their holiday products, which is a $100 value, and all kinds of...
Just to feel your face afterwards, it's worth it.
Skin rejuvenation. Oh, it is, yeah. Jolly gift certificate special to free microderm when you purchase a gift certificate at Dr. Roche's office, like for somebody else for Christmas.
It's like the kind of thing a lot of people would like to get that for Christmas.
Yeah, because it's a thing. It's not like something you have to go buy and wrap up. It's a giving forever kind of a thing. Plus, the last but not least, holiday CBD specials. Dr. Roche carries a full line of hemp CBD products, non-GMO, THC-free, 99% pure, and made in the USA. So go to www.drochecbd.com to find out more about that, or call Dr. Roche's office for a consultation at 248-338-1110.
Okay. I want to mention a couple TV things, because there's been so much talk about The Irishman that I was perusing Netflix yesterday, and I was really surprised to stumble into a Netflix series on the Irish mob. And they got into the Irish mob in Cleveland, the Irish mob in Boston, the Irish mob in Chicago, I think.
So but, me, it looked like a leprechaun to me.
Frank Sheeran, who is the subject, De Niro's character, he came up, of course. And then... who's the other Irish guy? Who did dinner? Jimmy Burke.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Jimmy guy Burke. From Goodfellas.
Yeah, and they had the whole thing on the Lufthansa.
Yeah.
Yep, the heist.
The heist of $8 million and then some jewels and all kinds of stuff and how that whole thing went down. And you watch Goodfellas, and as all these people are being killed afterwards, I mean... I kind of felt like, is there some license being taken here? Are those people really being killed by Jimmy Burke and nobody ever arrests him?
Are you going to prove it? That it was him.
I know. It's just so amazing. But then when you see the actual news stories, because, you know, they're actually, it's a documentary type thing. And
I do think killing Sam Jackson for oversleeping is a little rough.
That's a true story.
I know.
That was a problem because they had shoe footprints in that van, too. And they were a particular brand of Adidas, I believe. And the guy that was working on that case, at one point, he called Jimmy Burke in for an interview. I want to talk to you about a couple things. And it was a Lufthansa, of course. And Jimmy Burke comes in wearing the exact pair of Adidas.
Uh-oh.
But he's wearing them because he's got people on the inside who told him they got an Adidas footprint they're very interested in. So he came in wearing Adidas with a smile and, you know, put his foot up.
Oh,
what a jerk.
I know.
I mean, sweet, but what a jerk.
The bulls.
Yeah.
But that was interesting. They had a whole episode on Whitey Bulger.
Oh, yeah. God, he's fascinating. Too bad that movie sucked.
Yeah, that wasn't too good. But anyway, I thought if The Irishman was interesting to you, or you thought the movie was slow, but you liked the subject, I thought the Netflix thing was pretty good. And you certainly
run along the back to Dublin and find yourself a bottle to crawl into.
Do you remember what it's called? Or no?
What's that?
Do you remember what it's called?
The Irish Mob.
Oh,
it's just called The Irish Mob. I think I'm pretty sure.
Was there a Detroit Irish Mob?
Well, the Purple Gang. And then
they
were Jewish. Yeah. Purple gang, yeah.
Can't we get the mob canceled based on their lack of inclusivity?
I know.
Because the Irish mob is the same way. You had to be Irish.
And their sexism.
No, they're they're
women rise in the ranks.
And they're racist, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched The Sopranos.
They're pretty harsh. So.
Cancel the mob.
There was, I just seems to me, I don't know why they're immune to cancel culture.
All of them. The Yakuza, too. They're not very inclusive.
Stupid. So then, speaking of TV, you guys were talking about Lights Out with David Spade,
that
which is
really funny.
11 o'clock on Comedy Central. Is that Monday through Friday? Funny, when I talked about that and I said, you know, it seems to me they have too many shows. Somebody said, oh, they're only on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And somebody said, they're on Tuesday, Thursday. And I'm like, well, I thought it was on Monday through Friday. Doesn't it record five times a week for me?
I have no idea.
I think it's, I mean, the episode you guys were talking about, maybe it is just twice, maybe it's three times a week. I don't know. It seems like we'd be able to find out somehow.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
But anyway, I was looking for the episode you guys saw because he had three Weekend Update anchors on one episode.
Yeah. And it's nice.
David Spade opens up with his monologue. And
so it says weeknights, 11:35.
Yeah, it's
Weeknights is five nights a week.
Yeah.
Why are people making incorrect corrections?
I'm very angry. I'm sorry, Monday. No, but now it says... No, okay, Monday through Thursday, no Friday.
Okay, that's 4 days a week. Yeah. It's every day but Friday. Okay, now we got it. No one said that, by the way.
That's really
hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's got Kevin Nealon, Norm Macdonald, and Dennis Miller on, which, you know, sounds great. And that's how the way that show goes. When they have really cool people, it's a really funny show. And sometimes, and I watch the show a number of times, sometimes there's two good people in there, but there's one person who isn't funny, who's trying too hard to be funny. Ugh. And that's what happened. I was watching the episode from let's see, what night was that? That was the Wednesday night show, and it had Rob Lowe on it, and a female, and another male comedian who I looked up, he had like 4,000 Twitter followers, and that's what happens when you have to do a show four nights a week is you run out of people. So he's a young guy. I thought he was kind of funny. The female, I thought, was making too many interjections that weren't funny.
Really?
They were a little bit flattening. Sorry, Trudy. It's nothing about her sex. I just thought she was flattening Spade with things that weren't funny, and that's almost worse than... That's so much worse than saying nothing, in my opinion, because I know how that feels when someone says something. You're like, oh, God. I don't even know how to segue out of this. So
Annie
don't.
Lederman?
I guess she's been on a few times. I just didn't think she was very good.
She's cute.
She's very cute.
Yeah, she is.
Who was the male comedian with her?
Dusty.
I'm
Dusty
done.
Slay?
You lost me.
Yeah, Dusty Slay. That's the one with 4,000 or 5,000 Twitter followers. And then Rob Lowe was on. So, of course, I was interested in Rob Lowe, who didn't seem to want to say all that much, but he's okay. He's Rob Lowe's Rob Lowe.
And he looks exactly like he did like 15, 20 years ago. How does he do that?
Yeah, there's some pretty good genes happening.
He was
there.
In a movie with him too, right?
Yeah. By the way,
Black Sheep.
The right? Fly is back?
Oh my God. You wouldn't know.
Where these giant flies you would not believe the come war. From?
I killed two today.
He's super fly because I saw you try to kill him three times in a row, and the last time he left a smear on the object that Drew brutally beat him
he
with.
He bled.
And he kept going.
Denny killed one with his hands, and it exploded because these are such big flies.
What the fuck is going on, though? We never had flies all summer, all spring. What happened? Did I leave the door open?
My friend Eileen had a party last night for Dee. It was her birthday. Happy birthday, Dee. And there were a zillion of those back at her party too, and she's like,
big
where
fat
are these
flies,
from? Big giant huge flies like that.
Winter, that seems really odd, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm freaking out. I had an exterminator here week before last, and I feel like something's happened. I noticed the sweeper's gone on the front door, and I leave the door open, and so that sweeper area, you could actually, it'd be very easy to come in.
Oh yeah,
if flies are looking.
I don't like flies.
I don't know. Anyway,
the way to kill them, though,
it's a house of skank. It's established.
We no, and because Eileen isn't a house of skank either. She has a very nice house, and she was like very dismayed. But the way to kill them, apparently, we have.
I'm just as dismayed as she did. I just want you to know.
I know you did seem that way. Came up with, you use Windex and you shoot them with it.
Oh.
And it paralyzes.
Windex will kill anything.
Yeah.
I don't like flies.
But it knocks them down and then you got to kill them because they will get back up after that. They'll dry
really?
Out.
Windex?
From Windex.
They can recover from Windex?
They can shake it off. So you have to take advantage
of it. I would just drown them in Windex.
And too.
I don't think they can come back from a drowning.
No. I don't know.
Can you just spray with water then?
No, Windex, because there's something in it.
I don't think they'll like the Windex. I mean, if you sprayed me with water or Windex, I would certainly prefer water.
Yeah.
And I think flies feel the same way, even really big fat flies. So, okay.
So Lights Out, did you finish talking? I mean, did you watch with the
Yeah, I watched with Norm and Dennis and Kevin Nealon and
I love that, Norm. I'm always amazed by him. So you put him with those three guys and he still shines higher and brighter than all of them.
Is that the excerpt?
It's really crazy.
Yeah, Norm's fantastic. It's just they all know each other, yeah, and they're just having a good time, and it's a really good watch, and that's how that show goes. When he has the right people on, it's a fantastic show. And even when he doesn't, it's still a pretty good show. I mean, I'm a big Spade fan.
What I loved about this one, because every time he does the show, he does a monologue before he sits down and does the rap with his guests. The best part about this one, though, is these guys were just heckling the hell out of him. Here, I'll give you this is the beginning of it, but it's just a quick clip.
Just let it roll.
All my buddies are here. We
got Dennis.
Is that
what you're wearing? Hey, unbelievable.
All my friends are here. We got Norm, Kevin, Dennis Miller.
We're all your rowdy friends.
All my rowdy friends are coming over today.
You remember who's who?
What do you keep in that knee pocket?
Here, we'll go wide. I'll go back for you. I might want to go shorts after the commercial.
When will this be on, Dave?
Snoop Dogg is releasing a lullaby album of his greatest hits. The first single is Gin and Juice Box.
Was that a Snoop Dogg joke? I thought you'd open with a Luther Campbell joke or something.
No, we're doing it present day.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, honestly, it's available on vinyl and CBD. So, you got me mid-joke.
Sorry.
Congratulations to Jason Momoa. He was named GQ Australia's Man of the Year.
Yeah!
But other Australians claim he should be disqualified because he's technically not a criminal.
Who's the guy?
In a new interview, Billy Dee Williams.
Wait, what, is that from the 1800s? What was his name?
What was his name? Why would I ever do jokes in front of you guys? In a new interview, Billy Dee Williams says he identifies as both a man and a woman. In Billy Dee's honor, Colt 45 is being renamed Gender Fluid.
Is that true?
That's a solid joke.
Is that true?
That's a solid joke.
That's a solid joke. Took a little ramping up. Pat Sajak returned to Wheel of Fortune after getting emergency surgery. He says he's feeling great, and he just won a brand new scar. A new study says smoking weed regularly increases men's risk of testicular cancer.
They only give you cash on Wheel of Fortune.
That's not true, is it? They give you cash.
It is true, isn't it?
To be fair, he wanted to wait and see if you went back and
a brand new car would be
Price
is Right. I think that's kind of the.
Well, they do give you a car if you win, like, the at the very end when you spin the wheel. You might get a car.
Just but for Norm's
It's
weight.
Usually about, it's more about cash than about stuff,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Norm's right.
It's
yeah.
just funny, because normally during these monologues, you know, it's just him and the people just keep
you
quiet.
Don't, and jokes aren't critiqued so heavily.
He's got another joke, too, where they have, like, a little stamp that comes on that says borderline racist.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Asian-type joke. It goes on the next one. Norm goes, borderline?
Did you see the OJ discussion?
Yes.
Go to the OJ discussion.
Once again.
Because Norm was fired from SNL for making OJ jokes, which was the whole planet said, what? First of all, the jokes were hilarious. Mm-hmm. We know he did it. And that's what the joke always was, that he did it pretty much in some brutal form. Well, Dick Ebersol from NBC was OJ's friend.
Yeah.
So he wanted Norm to stop making OJ jokes. Because he's his friend.
Oh,
now,
so
that's great management, isn't it? Isn't that
way
just
back then for NBC doing that, pulling that shit?
Incredible. And they fired him because he went out and, well, they'll get into it.
And once again, Dennis Miller points out the brilliance of Normus to go the way you don't expect him to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We had questions from the crowd, from the audience. We're calling this part of the show Q&A.
Beautiful.
What does that stand for?
I'll start with the Well, okay, here's someone says, anybody remember their favorite Weekend Update jokes? It's probably
Norm. I do. I remember Dennis Miller had a joke about, he said, The Sun Also Rises is going to be turned into a movie, but Hemingway probably wouldn't have liked it. It's called Ernest Goes to Spain.
What about, I see OJ's in the news again this week. What about Norm's series of OJ jokes?
Oh, yeah.
But I have to tell you, the true spirit of that Weekend Update is an outlaw sort of mentality. And they told Norm, the guys who signed the checks, as high up as you can go at NBC, do not do any more OJ jokes. Yeah. He's my friend. Norm comes out the next week, completely blottos OJ. So I have to give you credit for that, Norm.
But is that why you left the show?
No, I must say, I now in this cancel culture and everything, I have to say, I no longer take that position with O.J. Simpson. He was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. I accept that. I see him as the greatest rusher. That's all he's guilty of to me, is the greatest rusher in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
Maybe I was the greatest rusher to judgment.
All that for that?
But how do you feel about him stealing back his memorabilia? Yeah. That's bad. That's low.
Yeah.
We had a video of him. Do we have that video? They can show it. He's on Twitter now.
Lamar Jackson, you're incredible. I mean, you got four games ago, you already got 1,000 yards. But 49ers, you have got nothing to be ashamed of.
Bill Jay!
What? Was he taking a break from looking for the real killer?
Well, I do. I'll tell you, man. First of all, he just got into the All-Defensive Hall of Fame. I don't know if
you... Oh, the top 100.
All offense.
Top 10.
Oh, good for him.
And, yeah. He's fantastic. He's paid his debt to society, and I think he's a hell of a guy.
Oh, I didn't know your new his new PR guy.
There's Norm. If you tell him to do an OJ joke, he won't do that either.
Yeah. Wow.
The whole episode was very good.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of cancel culture, I can't even say how dumb this story is. And nobody's going to be canceled, so it's really not about cancel culture. It's maybe about attempted cancel culture or cancel water bottle culture. Chris Pratt, you know, who works out so much now.
Oh, yeah.
He's this big buff guy and thinks he's so hot. He's modeling fitness equipment, trying to look all hot and buff, leaning on a treadmill, and he's got a plastic bottle of waters in his hand because he works out so hard. He's so buff.
You like what you see.
He always needs a sip of water.
For sure.
And
he's got to hydrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Momoa, Aquaman, tweets, "Bro, I love you, but what the fuck on the water bottle?"
What?
No single-use plastic. Come on, man.
How does he know it's single-use?
Because he knows a lot about this, because Jason Momoa,
he's Aquaman.
By the way,
he's Aquaman.
That's a great point, Trudy. I didn't even thought of that. He has a water brand that he promotes that is packaged in 100% recycled aluminum cans and can be reused.
Oh.
And he was quoted as saying, "I want to bring awareness because plastic is killing our planet, and I think we have a solution." And I assume he makes money off this, but...
So he's basically hijacking the ad to promote his own company?
But he's suggesting that Chris Pratt is just a flaming asshole for drinking one-use plastic bottle of water.
Oh,
which,
God.
Now, wouldn't it make more sense to go after the makers of the water?
Sure, yeah.
We're using the plastic and not Chris Pratt, the poor one guy who happens to have posted this in front of Jason Momoa. What a crime that is. And Momoa goes on to say, "There's only one thing that will save our planet. And that's aluminum."
Well,
it's a pretty dramatic statement.
That is.
It certainly seems to be.
I mean, personally, he shouldn't be using aluminum either. He should be ceramic.
He should drink out of.
Can we aluminum shame him? And
he should drink out of a waterfall all the time.
Yeah,
it's running water. Hot that way.
If you were going to criticize Chris Pratt, I would say it would be for thinking he's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing a blue singlet, by the way. He's wearing a blue singlet.
Like wrestlers.
Yeah, he's got a shirt over it, but they point out his blue singlet. And this is an Amazon fitness equipment, apparently. So he's working for Amazon, which I'm surprised that Jason Momoa, knowing how huge Amazon is, this is really, what a criminal thing this is, this single-use plastic bottle. So anyway, The tweet was not received very well.
What?
His Chris Pratt.
People like Chris Pratt. He's just drinking fucking water. I mean, yeah. It's not like it's an illegal bottle or something.
And you can use a plastic bottle over if you want.
And not only that.
That kind of a person.
Do you know every time you drink any kind of liquid that you've purchased, do you know how recyclable or non-recyclable it is? Is that something everyone's aware of?
If you're as woke as Momoa.
Well, he has a brand with an aluminum recyclable. I mean, honestly, I was like, is this really Jason Momoa? It really doesn't have anything better to do than go around the internet looking for people using single-use plastic bottles.
He's pretty big into the whole conservation efforts in Hawaii.
I'm happy for him, and that's good. He's fine. Aquaman, and he's involved in water bottles and brands, and
but it wasn't. Was it a candid shot of Chris Pratt?
It's this one right here.
Yeah,
so
look,
it's a professional photo.
He's leaning on the treadmill.
Oh,
and it's a prop. Who knows?
It is a prop because have you seen Chris Pratt's response?
No, I don't know.
I did not see his response. I saw the apology from Jason Momoa, but what was Chris Pratt's response?
Aquaman, you're completely right. Damn it. I always carry my big gallon-sized reusable water jug around with me, too. I even had it that day. If I remember correctly, somebody threw that plastic bottle to me in the photo shoot because I didn't know what to do with my hands. I never know what to do with my hands. So uncomfortable. For real, though. Love you, buddy. My bad. I don't want your home of Atlantis covered in plastic. Hear that, kids? Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Oh, wow. He was playing into it then.
Stupid.
And the whole thing is so...
Who won that argument? I don't even know now.
Well, I think Chris Pratt loses for actually suggesting that it was reasonable for him to be attacked like this for this stupid prop in what's an ad, essentially. So anyway, Momoa retweets a couple hours later, and I don't think his tweet was... Brandon, his tweet wasn't terribly well received, was it?
Well, Momoa's? At the time of this publishing, it had like 60,000 likes. But I didn't read the responses.
Yeah, I think commenters were kind of telling him to lighten up a little bit. Anyway, he came back and says, bro, you know my children and I are madly in love with you. If you're madly in love with
him,
why didn't you just message him privately and say something? I mean, honestly, isn't this just so fucking stupid?
He wanted to plug his company.
Yeah, he did. And I love everything you do. I'm sorry this was received so badly. Shouldn't you be apologizing to yourself?
Yeah.
Because it's received badly because of the way you wrote it and what you wrote. Not because of anything Chris Pratt did. He didn't receive it badly. He received it incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
He was magnanimous. He kissed your ass. I don't even know why.
It's a great ass.
I'm sorry this was received so badly. I'm just very passionate about the single-use plastic epidemic.
Oh my God.
I hope you make a reusable water bottle for Amazon we can all buy. What? He's not selling single-use plastic. Yeah. It's a fucking prop. He said that in his response.
This old environmental guy for dumb.
What the fuck? He's got to make a reusable water bottle to make up for this horrible... What's that? Oh, skin tone? Skin tone? Oh, sorry. You're an inspiration. I'll send you a case of Manamalu or egg except the water.
No thanks. You should just say no thanks.
Oh, my God.
What a waste of everyone's time, Momoa.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
What a moron.
I like the two of them fighting, though, because...
they're not fighting, though.
They're handsome.
They're kissing each other's asses.
Yeah, they're start making out, Trudy. Is that
Trudy
better?
Just wants to see him wrestle.
I just want to see him, you know, nude. Out there. Out nude, there. Yes, that would be good. Speaking of nude, yay.
Yeah, MrSkin.com. It's where you can go to see these are 10 best scenes from 2019.
Got it, yeah.
You know, I regret that I haven't seen these, so I hope Brandon will move us through them as Skin describes his hard work. It's the kind of urine thing I like.
Skin in the house.
Skin! Yeah! How you doing, Skin?
Doing great, Drew. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey.
Good to see you.
It was a great weekend. You were here for the Lions game. And 5'11". Bo is 5'11".
I know.
Skin's swinging, slugging son.
Went to the Ohio State-Michigan game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pleasant surprise to see Mark holding a draft beer.
What? What's with the attack?
No, it wasn't an attack. It was a pleasant surprise.
I believe it was a lot of vodka.
Hey, Skin. In an aluminum can?
No. Reusable cup.
Does that mean after the game you were holding a beer?
Oh, no. After the game, I got out of there as fast as I could.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to be around that depressing city.
Were you around many sour Michigan fans, Skin, after the game?
You know, yes. And
were there any other kind?
What blows my mind is, and I forget about this because I don't get to go to a lot of college sports. Being a Chicago guy, I mean, you go to a Northwestern game, but there's not the intensity that there are at these like Michigan, Ohio State. So what I don't understand is these guys that'll wear like Ohio State jerseys.
I don't get it either.
And there's all these Michigan people, and they walk by and they start like talking shit. And
it's weird.
It's weird to me. Like, you could get killed at any minute. There's four of you and 100,000 of that. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird.
And you're not on the team. You didn't make a couple catches in the game. I mean, get over yourself.
It's like wearing a MAGA hat sometimes, though.
The word we when your team, the Ohio State, we. No, you're not on the team.
Wait, you know? Can I not say when I refer to Michigan, can I not say we?
I think judiciously.
I think if you do it, as long as we know that you know you're not on the team.
Would you walk around the horseshoe saying, "Oh, we're kicking your ass"?
Literally, that's what guy walks. I'm with my wife and kids. We're standing there. This guy cuts through us, going to the aisle, and he starts talking smack to these fans. And I'm thinking to myself, he's going to get killed. But it's just crazy.
Well, did the Michigan fans talk shit back to him?
Yeah, they like. And then I thought to myself, well, what the hell are you saying?
I was going to say, that's the sadder part, really.
But I just meant it more for physical, like, why would you even risk getting, like, punched in the face for no reason? You know, it's just not worth it.
There's just so many people that just want to, I don't know why, they just want to squabble. And nobody can just let anything roll off their back anymore. But then again, with that football game, that's never really been the way it goes.
Yeah,
you got to live with it for 364 days. But anyway, it was great to see you, Skin. And
it was great. And thanks again for your hospitality, the tickets to the box, and getting to go to the game and hanging out. It was wonderful.
And the Bears won for you too.
Yeah, you know, not that I really truly thought they were going to lose that game, but
can the Bears make the playoffs?
A lot of like shit has to happen, you know. Like it's actually kind of starting to with Dallas playing bad and the Eagles and everything, but still. More needs to happen.
So. I know. I can't believe Dallas is so bad. It's not a sports podcast, of course, but Dallas is terrible. Yeah. What is wrong with them?
I don't know.
Maybe that quarterback isn't all that. Yeah. But anyway, we've got the top 10 scenes of 2019 on MrSkin.com, and you can see these if you're not a member, per se, correct?
You don't need to be a member. But, yeah, it's as always, I have a you know, the top 10 nude scenes of the year. We always do it around this time of the year. And this year I do want to mention, by the way, this is all free. Anyone can come and not only see the pics, but watch the vids of what we're talking about. And my guys did a fantastic job. And you'll probably see a big wallpaper advertisement because I got a huge advertiser, which I'm very proud of, called Male XL, which if you're looking for a little, let's say, generic Viagra, you just go online and their slogan is, they make hard easy. And no doctor visits. You just go online and you get approved. You don't have to wait at a pharmacy. The stuff's delivered directly to your door. And I couldn't be prouder to have a sponsor like this for the top 10 news scenes of the year.
God, how cool is that? A sponsor for this conversation.
I mean, think about that. I put together a list of the 10 best news scenes of the year, which I actually should pay money to get to do for a living, right?
Yes.
And then someone actually pays me money to be a sponsor of it. We live in a beautiful world. So.
It's pretty cool.
These are some great scenes, too, by the way.
And, Brandon, by the way, can we clip the interview? Because Pete asked me if we could send this, obviously, probably for the sponsor to hear what a fabulous job you do for them.
Pete is... He's predicting the future already?
Yes, he is. By the way, Pete, Skin, you and I have usually set up the interviews. Are you going big time now? I have to deal with Pete to talk to you?
Pete's been doing it for
you know
a long
what?
Time.
Pete deals mostly with Mark. I don't know why he crossed over to go directly to the top.
Everyone has.
Yeah, it seemed like a dangerous precedent. I don't know. It was all very
awkward.
Don't
want...
I don't mind.
My general rule, Mark, has always been... Let Mark handle the nitty gritty stuff, and let Drew handle the big ideas.
It's worked. We'll take it.
Yes, it works. It's always worked.
Nothing against Pete.
No, not at all. Not at all. I like to just go to Drew. I text him, "Hey, I'm on your show tonight at 5:30." Oh,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Great.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Is that Eastern time
that's
or
about
something?
That's the extent as I want to put pressure on Drew for the interview.
I will say this, though. Pete did send us some very interesting skintistics. Am I saying that right? Skintistics. Do you know about those?
Yeah,
you know about
I'm
those.
Glad he did. Peter. Yeah, because this is just some cool stuff for you to get you excited about this top 10. We did these skintistics that are drawn directly from our database, so they're really accurate because, you know, we literally go through every television show and movie, but I've mentioned this to you before, I think, but it's official now because we actually ran a query at our website. But there were 149 television shows in 2019 that had a female nude scene, which is incredible, especially 149. And if you think about it, you know, way back when I started in 99, there were only 19. But the reason is, and you'll see one of the statistics, Netflix alone has 45 active shows, meaning they haven't been canceled. They're active shows that have another season or are in the process. 45 shows with female nudity. And you think, well, boy, it's all female nudity. There were 144 shows in 2019 that showed cocks and butts.
Yay!
So it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
The other amazing,
finally,
the amazing thing
was
about
that Mark or Trudy?
Nah. Yippee! Netflix also, the amazing thing about that stat is that they have three times the amount of shows with nudity than number two Amazon Prime, because Amazon Prime only has 14.
But you know
shows.
What Netflix does that is kind of cool that we discovered is they'll like pick up shows from Colombia or from you know France or Norway, and you'll be like, what the hell is this show? And then my guys go through it, and they're like, holy crap, look at all these hot babes naked. And it's so like, these are, they're not only good shows in many cases, but the nudity's off the charts. It's crazy.
And look at Netflix with all this nudity, and look at their stock price zooming up.
Yeah.
Always, always, always. And they've got the most money to spend, and they're making the most money. But let's get to our top 10. What is number 10?
Number 10 is a controversial one.
Oh,
shouldn't have been.
It shouldn't, but it's Maisie Williams, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. And the controversy, a lot of people are freaking out because she started on the show when she was 13 years old, but she's 22 now. And she was playing an 18-year-old who, by the way, was heading into the ultimate battle the next day to save the world. So she just wants to experience sex for the first time. So she stripped down, and on the internet, a lot of people were freaking out because, you know, they remember her in the first season or two when she was really young. But, you know, hey, she's 22 years old now, so it's not a big deal. And the producers were pretty adamant about, listen, she's 18 years old on the show, and she was going into battle. Let the girl have sex. It's okay.
Well, why does everybody just has to bitch about something, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
Well, the complaint should have been that she didn't show more.
Yeah,
right. And no, the complaint should have been her sister, Sophie Turner. Sansa didn't get naked. Oh, that was the big thing that I'm complaining about.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's not a great nude scene, but I get why it would be number 10. But number 9.
Was one of the most famous of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Emma Stone.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, this is number 9 on my list of the best nude scenes of the year. And Emma Stone, so she was in Superbad in 2007. That's when she was discovered, right? Then she wins an Oscar a couple years ago for La La Land. Now she's a big-time actress. She had never done a nude scene, and we'd get all these requests. Has Emma Stone ever been naked? I'd be on the radio. Is Emma Stone nude? Never, you know, never happened. Until this movie, The Favourite, which is based in 18th century England. So, Drew, I'm sure you have no clue about this
movie. Electricity.
Have you seen the movie, though, Skin?
I just watched the nude scene.
It's actually a really good movie. It's
I've heard that. Yeah. Listen. I know it is, but I did not. I watched The Irishman for 3.5 hours, not The Favorite for 3.5 hours.
Did you like The Irishman, by the way?
Yeah, love
okay, cool.
The scene is by candlelight, though, so Drew would never have any interest.
Yeah, no.
An hour and 1 minute in, which I didn't know that 18th century England had so much lesbianism, but she's in bed with Olivia Colman, and the two girls were there, and then you see Emma Stone topless, which made number 9 on the best nude scene.
And sleeping.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah. What's number 8?
Number 8 is Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. And here's the thing. People, I don't know if you guys are aware even that this is, I know you know there were other Star Is Borns, but it goes way back to 1937. Janet Gaynor was the first, and then Judy Garland in 1954, they remade it. Then, of course, the famous 1976 with Barbara Streisand. And then here we are with Lady Gaga.
Please tell me out of all those that this is the only one that has nudity.
Yes. Thank God. But what's I like about Lady Gaga is she reminds me of Madonna in that she's she's hot, she's got a great body, she's a singer, she's very wealthy, and she's not afraid to get naked, and she did a full frontal scene. It was brief, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, she sure did.
Big difference between her and Madonna, if you know what I mean, though, too.
Yeah,
no, she looks great.
No, she looks great.
You know what I mean, Brandon?
I'm thinking you're talking hairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, keep in mind, I think the current iteration of Madonna is not the 1970s posing in for a photographer version.
She put that book out. It's always going to look that way in my mind.
Yeah, we always fight about this. You know, at some point, we always get very hairy. But it gets very hairy between us.
Number 7.
Number 7 is Amber Heard in London Fields.
I haven't seen this.
It's filmed in 2015. It was released in 2019, and due to some legal battles. But at the 21-minute mark, she's seducing Billy Bob Thornton, who has to be the luckiest guy in the history of movies. It seems he's always with hot.
I know, in real life, too.
I know, he was married to Angelina Jolie, and he did the sex scene with Halle Berry in Monster Ball, and here he is. When I do my Anatomy Awards for you guys, you're maybe looking at the best butt of 2000.
That's quite a shot.
That's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
Trudy, what is it about Billy Bob Thornton? Can you explain why all these...
He has sort of an element of danger a bit, I think, but he's kind of down home. I don't know
what you mean by that.
And that voice. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
So you understand.
I didn't understand Sling Blade, Billy Bob. I wasn't attracted to that.
Not a lot of girls fantasize about Sling Blade, Billy Bob.
Mm-hmm. But he's very charming.
I'm kind of confused about this scene. And why is the plumbing work when they're clearly remodeling this room? What's going on?
Don't get in the weeds here.
I'm sorry.
Quite Amber Heard. She is quite gorgeous. So number 6.
Number 6 is Alison Brie in Glow.
Whew.
And this is a cool show from Netflix. The third season finished this year. They renewed for season 4, and it's about the gorgeous ladies of wrestling in the 1980s in L.A. And Alison Brie got topless. And by the way, she was, if you don't know, she played Peter Campbell's wife in Mad Men, and she also was Annie on Community. So it's a big deal.
And sleeping with other people.
Yeah. Great.
Is that the name of it? Yeah. Great movie. Yeah. I love that movie. Yeah. Love her in that movie.
That scene is both interesting from your Mr. Skin point of view and whimsical as well.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, it's very funny.
We talked about Betty Gilpin, who's also in the show, a few weeks ago. Is she nude and glow a lot?
Well, she did last year. She did a spectacular nude scene in the locker room, which I loved. It was in my top 10 last year. Neither of them have done a ton. But when they have, it's been great. You do want to see a scene Betty Gilpin did in Nurse Jackie with Carmella Soprano from a few years ago that you'll be very happy to see.
All right, the top 5.
Yes. Now, number 5 is from a show that had the most nude scenes of any television show in 2019. It's called Now Apocalypse from the Starz Network, and you probably never heard of it, and you won't hear about it again because it was canceled, unfortunately. There will not be a season 2, but it had 28 nude scenes, including Kelly Berglund at number 5, who is best known for playing Bree Davenport, a bionic teenager, on the Disney Channel series Lab Rat. So it's always weird when someone from the Disney Channel grows up and does a nude scene. She's 23 years old now, and it's awesome scene reading the Happy Hooker in bed, or in the bathtub.
It's really quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Oh, no.
Now, do you guys know about this show from Amazon Prime with Orlando Bloom? It's called Carnival Row, and it's Cara Delevingne. And she's a She's a British-born supermodel. She's really pretty. And the problem with this show, and another reason I know Drew would never watch it, is it's about, it's set in, like, Victorian England and
no electricity.
Yeah, right. It's not going to do it for you.
But also,
if you don't mind the fact that Kara is topless but then has fairy wings, it's a pretty hot scene.
Yeah, I just noticed that part.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's a little distracting.
But we still know that she's nude, and we're seeing that, so...
Yeah,
we can forget about the wings.
And is that Orlando Bloom in?
Yeah,
in he's the scene. Banging her. Oh, yeah.
Does he bring his thing out?
No, but you could see it in that paparazzi pic when he was.
Oh yeah, I know all about his crank.
Yeah. Anyway, how could they possibly keep it out of the picture here if he's in it? Isn't it in it?
Yeah, it had to be strapped down. Yes.
Okay. Top three.
Yes, number three is a great one. It's Margaret Qualley in a bare knuckle. Brawl movie called Donnybrook at the hour and 7 minute mark. She goes full frontal. Now, you guys might not know Margaret Qualley, but you do know her mom, supermodel turned actress Andie MacDowell.
Okay.
And also,
did
you guys see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie?
Yep.
Do you remember the girl that was seducing Brad Pitt in the car?
The Manson family girl.
Yeah. That's Margaret Qualley. So. Was sexy, so sexy in that Manson movie.
Is this the longest continuous nude of the year? Because the whole time getting on the lake, she's nude.
She's nude. She's taking her time.
There were much longer scenes that we have in this year. But as far as star power and babe power and everything else, it made it to number
two. It's a big old hoo-ah.
Yeah.
Number two.
Number two is another much anticipated scene. It's Kate Mara and Ellen Page in My Days of Mercy. And if you know the show House of Cards, Kate Mara played Zoe Barnes on that, the Netflix series. And then, of course, Ellen Page was Juno. And one of my skin scouts saw this movie, the Film Fest, in early 2018. And they reported breathlessly to us that there was this scene in it. And we reported on it at the website. And after that, so many people for literally a year and a half were bugging us of when this is ever going to come out. It finally did. And the girl-girl scene in this movie made number two on the list. It is so hot, and normally it would have been number one. But
well, we know Ellen Page is so into this
because
the other girl is really hot.
Yeah,
is the other girl a lesbian in real life?
No, but Ellen Page is. Right?
Yeah, so we know. I mean, living through her vicariously, we know that she is so into this scene.
Oh yeah, no, and it's
no
believe me, when you watch it, you see that there's not a lot of acting going on in this scene.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
No, it's really hot.
Okay, so here we go, MrSkin.com to see the top 10 scenes of 2019, and we're on to number one. Oh my God, it looks like quite a scene.
Amen. Brandon and I are big fans of hers.
Yeah, you'll know. It's Sydney Sweeney in Euphoria from season one, episode one, and this was a super controversial show from HBO this year, and one of the reasons is. They get all these actors and actresses that are, like, in their 20s, and they're all playing, like, 15, 16, 17-year-old high school students.
Yeah.
And they're just doing the most crazy drugs, and they're all out of their mind, and they're having wild sex. And they even had a scene where 21 different guys showed their cocks in a locker room in one scene.
We saw it.
the old 21-gun salute, if you will. But it really – and they had a transsexual, Hunter Schaefer, who's – is a guy who's transitioned to be a woman in this thing that made a big splash. So it's like super controversial show. But Sydney Sweeney, who played Cassie, she's a high school student with these goofy parents and has relationships with a couple different guys. But she has like Alexandra Daddario level breasts.
Yeah, those are spectacular. Quite massive. Really nice. Nice pair, no doubt.
Yeah. Hoo-ah. Oh, yeah. Number
that,
one.
That 20, the locker room scene, by the way, we had a lot of fun watching to see the people that were just extras, and yet somehow their wiener got in the shot.
Yeah,
and
isn't that great?
All I could think of was, you know, these guys getting a rare call from their, hey, I got an opportunity for you. And it turns out that they're just some guy, you know, who just walks into this scene, shows his wiener, and disappears into the ether.
I'm going to be on this show on HBO. Check it out.
I'm a wiener extra.
That's going to be at, or that's at MrMan.com if you want to see it. see it. So, very popular scene.
And if you want, there's comments below, too, if some guy gives his own comments for each one.
These guys that do the comments, I've told you this before, never own a website and allow people to give comments so you get the craziest stuff. Love how guys like reorder my list and make their own list. Yeah. We want to know what Jim Callahan
That's
thinks.
Exactly what I'm looking at. That's exactly what I'm looking at.
What does Jim Callahan think?
Macy, doesn't really show anything. 9, Emma, this is a 2018 movie. Gaga, this is a 2018 movie. Yeah, and then you
but
go
they
forward.
Don't know. It came out on DVD in 2009.
And honestly, who gives a shit?
Right.
Well, really? What are his other beefs, Silas?
Kelly Berglund, number one for me. So now we know that Jim Callahan beat off to that. Yeah. Number four.
I have the one I have number one, he wants you to know that he thinks it should be number two.
And number two is his number three, but he agrees with you with Cara Delevingne that, okay, I agree. She's number four.
I mean, he basically didn't even change my bottom four, but yet he has to do his own list.
I think Callahan needs a DNA test to see if he's related to you somehow. all right, Skin, great list. Great to talk. And we'll be in touch real soon.
Yeah, definitely. All right, guys.
Okay, thanks,
Skin.
MrSkin.com to see all of these yourself. No charge required. And there's some pretty good scenes in there, I gotta say. And I'd seen one of them. I think just one. What happened?
It's my audio problem.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Skin.
Can I tell you some other skintistics he had?
Sure.
The top five mainstream TV shows of all time for nudity. Care to guess what any of them are?
Top five mainstream shows?
Like, they're all HBO Showtime ones. But mainstream ones people watched.
I was going to guess the John Hamm ad agency one.
Oh, Mad Men? But that was that on a new
one? Yeah, that was
something. So five is The Deuce, the one Maz loves.
Oh, okay.
Four is Master of Sex, the Kinsey-based show from Showtime.
Right.
True Blood, remember that show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that show was third.
It was popular.
The L Word, which is
The L Word was hot.
And Shameless.
Shameless has a lot of nudity.
A ton of nudity.
Okay.
The top 10 A-listers with the most nude scenes of all time.
Oh.
Charlize Theron is 10. 9 is Helen Mirren.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I believe it.
Make a check.
She's still getting nude.
She loves being nude.
She does.
Huh. 8 is Angelina Jolie. Yawn.
Boring.
7 is Dakota Johnson.
Angelina Jolie, by the way, there's a new piece in the Globe about her. She's down to 58 pounds.
Ooh.
She's really got to do something.
She needs to start digging a grave with a knife and a fork.
Exactly.
6 is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Yeah. 5 is Penelope Cruz.
Penelope Cruz is number 5?
Yes.
Really?
Now, so
she's so hot.
Dakota Johnson was 7. Her mom, Melanie Griffith, is 4th.
Whoa. Wow. See, it's in the genes.
Nicole Kidman, 3rd. Sharon Stone, 2nd. And Monica Bellucci is 1st with 53 nude scenes.
Whoa.
Really? 53? Wow, she's really pretty, too.
Most searched celeb of all time is Scarlett Johansson. I don't think that's a surprise. Channing Tatum's number 1 on Mr. Man.
Yeah.
And the most searched is the final one for 2019. The most searched actress is Brie Larson, Captain Marvel.
I believe it.
Actor is Nick Jonas.
Oh
man.
What?
Damn it. They're never going away.
Kevin Jonas' own wife doesn't want to see him nude, but everybody wants to see Nick nude. And the number one search TV show is Euphoria. Huh.
The Jonas Brothers. I got a response to the Jonas Brothers conversation. Yeah. There are a couple guys who apparently dig the Jonas Brothers, and what was being expressed to me was that they take a lot of shit for it. And one of them was kind of, I think, trying to hide his Jonas Brothers love. Because he knew there was something wrong about it.
He's coming out of the
closet. And he was exposed. He was outed.
That's funny.
Wow.
And apparently it's referred to quite frequently.
As it should.
Yeah, absolutely. Another sort of a cancel culture story that I thought was really stupid when it started was the Starbucks thing with the cops who got the cups that said pig, the 5 cops, and their police chief sent out a picture on social media and said, hey, these guys are working hard for you on Thanksgiving, and I thought this is terrible. And the girl was fired. And by the way, the police chief has since come out to say that he wishes Starbucks would reconsider firing the girl, that he really just wants civility.
That's nice.
I thought it was nice, too.
The girl that was fired was the manager, and she claims that she was not the one that wrote that on the cup. So there's even a GoFundMe for her now.
Oh, good God. And how much is in it? How much has been raised for her?
I'm going to have to double check, but I want to say it's just a couple thousand.
Her name is Lola Rose, and she is talking about suing Starbucks.
Oh, for wrongful termination?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, do they have proof that she's the one that wrote it?
She's at 1,000.
No, she's the boss.
$1,183.
Oh, that's not going to be enough.
Oh, I thought she'd have a lot more than that.
The goal is only 2,000.
Because this what bothered me about the story, you know, Starbucks, you know, the most woke company, they shut the company down for almost a full day when the two people in Philadelphia,
it was like 2 hours,
who weren't buying anything, were asked to give up their table or leave, and they said, no, we're waiting for someone, and I thought you didn't have to buy anything anyway, and Starbucks came out after this extremely woke 2 hour meeting, however long it was, and said, anyone can come to Starbucks. We don't care. You don't have to buy anything, which was really interesting. But nonetheless, the bottom line is the story that bothered me the most, and I just want to mention too that shortly before this happened, there was a girl in Tempe that said, this police officer is in my line of sight and he's triggering me. Yeah. Like I was just drinking coffee, and Starbucks asked the police officer to move or leave.
Wow.
Because he was triggering this girl.
That's really dumb.
And, I mean, I could go way back into where this all started with police and triggering, but, I mean, these two stories are so stupid in and of themselves. So then I read that the police chief's daughter, who was not one of the people that got the five cups that said pig, he's their police chief, his daughter, who they didn't really know if it was his daughter, she had the same last name, they didn't know what her first name was, she said that he is a pig and he is a racist. And she went on to say, and this is the part that really bothered me, I'd like to thank the brave men and women from Starbucks for their service. Oh, so she's mocking police. She's basically saying police are pieces of shit. And I thought that was really annoying. And I guess she is his daughter. Mm-hmm. But just to continue on the story, though, they were so desperate for some reason to hurry up and get this important story out about the daughter of the police chief, who they're not sure she's the daughter and they don't know her first name, they couldn't even, you know, spend the time verifying who she was and what her first name was, not to mention actually verifying the chief is a pig or a racist or producing any evidence of either. The daughter and the police chief have been estranged for years. But, you know, couldn't they have done what I did, which was I looked at her Twitter account because I was interested. What's this person like? I mean, I can't believe I'm wasting time doing dumb things like this. But I found some really stupid tweets that made her sound like kind of a dope. But I didn't go that far down. Well, neither did any of the people reporting on the story. And if they had, they would have found out that she has racist tweets. And it's kind of, I don't know. It just seemed like almost the appropriate ending to the story.
Oh, God. It's,
I mean, honestly, doesn't it just seem about right? Just like the guy who raised the money for the University of Iowa hospital because he had the Venmo account to buy beer at the game day thing. And Budweiser said, you know, that's so cool. We're going to throw in a couple $100,000 because he's giving all the money that's coming into him, which was a lot of money. It was $1.2 million eventually. And then the Des Moines paper reports that we think maybe you should know that this guy giving all the money to the hospital, who was going to be in a commercial for Budweiser or Bud Light, wasn't it?
Yeah, Budweiser.
Yeah, they had all kinds of plans. They were like, this is the coolest thing. The story pointed out that he had racist tweets when he was 16 years old, which a lot of 16-year-olds do, by the way, because they're dumb.
A bunch of racist 16-year-olds.
So they really just put a giant damper on the story. And a lot of people were mad. They were like, why was that important? And they were so righteous about it. Anytime people are giving money to something, we feel the person's history on social media is very important and should be checked thoroughly. Well, then it comes out that the writer of the story has racist tweets. So I think it's very important to cover the people in their story and their social media background, but not their own writers.
So many idiots.
I know. So this story, And she, by the way, is very flippant about her racist tweets and said that they didn't hurt anyone. So what's the big deal?
Speaking of idiots, we haven't even talked about George Zimmerman today yet.
Oh, yeah. Gee.
Zimmerman's back in the news.
Zimdog.
Oh, God. If I had to really sit down and think about people that annoy me the most or people I hate the most who turn up in these silly stories that, you know, we get sort of. This was a big story. I mean, it was a really interesting case, and I have no regrets about it other than that I was shocked when Trayvon Martin was killed. And just for summary purposes, because there's so many of these stories, George Zimmerman was the guy who was the neighborhood watch person, and he was neighborhood watching away with his gun, and he noticed that Trayvon Martin, who he didn't know, appeared to be on the grounds and was going towards a house. So he called 911 and said there was a suspicious person, and you know he's the neighborhood watch guy, and 911 said, "We're going to send an officer over. Just forget about him.
Stay
just
where you
back
are.
Off.
Don't do anything.
Stay where you are." Well, George Zimmerman was so concerned, as he should be, of course.
About a guy walking.
Yeah, about a guy walking to his father's house.
Right.
It was his father's house that George Zimmerman had to go confront him, I'm sure very obnoxiously, because he just seems like that kind of guy. As we've learned since, he's been involved in many incidents, including domestic violence. And he said that Trayvon Martin reacted violently and tried to kill him, essentially put George Zimmerman's life in terrible danger at the suggestion that he wasn't where he was supposed to be, which he was, by the way.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman had no choice but to shoot and kill him.
He's standing his ground.
Standing his ground.
Could be said maybe Trayvon was standing his ground because he's being followed. And
he was going to his dad's house.
I know.
And I was just positively amazed at how many people supported George Zimmerman at the time. And I remember people getting livid at me for not supporting George Zimmerman.
What?
And yeah, because it became a kind of a Second Amendment gun law thing, stand your ground, and you know, became all about, was George Zimmerman's life really in danger? And I think he had some mark on his head.
Yeah, in the back. Not he was much. Bleeding from the back of his head, yeah.
He was really not that injured. And by the way, if I'm going to my house and somebody starts bugging me, I'm not really inclined to get in a fight, but I don't blame Trayvon Martin, especially now, the more we know about George Zimmerman, the more it makes me happy that somehow in this thing, George Zimmerman got his ass kicked a bit.
What if Trayvon had the gun?
Well, it's easy to confront people going to their father's house when you know that you have a gun that you're willing to use if they don't respond the way you want them to.
He wasn't supposed to. I was told not to follow him.
Just like the guy who was at the convenience store bugging the girl because she's in a handicapped space, and he waits for her boyfriend to come out, and when the boyfriend shoves him, he just shoots him, kills him.
Yep.
Yeah, he
not
it was
best
real
examples
easy.
For stand your ground.
It was very easy to be so adamant about handicapped parking and to be so happy to create this conflagration when you know that in the end you can just pull the trigger and put an end to it. And
well, you know, even after the fact, wasn't it determined that he liked getting those confrontations going?
Oh, absolutely.
With the hope of eventually being able to use stand your ground to shoot somebody.
I have no doubt that George Zimmerman was probably delighted to create. He was told not to do this. That's the part where I say, look, this isn't even questionable. There's a 911 call where they're telling him to back off. The police are coming. They'll sort it out. But no, he couldn't do that. And at that point,
yeah, are we supposed to listen to the police?
Well, absolutely.
Or that was a 911 operator.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And Amanda ends up dead at the other end of his gun, going to his father's house. I don't know how George Zimmerman. I have no idea, other than the fact that some people supported the Stand Your Ground law and felt that he was just exercising his rights. I never understood. I really didn't, why people supported him. And I think not only was it wrong, although, you know, we can all disagree.
He got his back, though.
Yeah, he's
but hasn't
the penultimate asshole move of all time.
Yes.
And the more we find out about him, the more we find out that he is a horrible person.
Dick.
Just a horrible person who somehow won the case and was found not guilty. And He's gone on to
do... Not only was he acquitted of the homicide, but they didn't even... Remember, there's a big uproar about the Attorney General not pressing hate crimes against him. So he avoided that as well.
He's completely got nothing. And, you know, this was the beginning of Black Lives Matter. And of all the incidents that have been used to be part of Black Lives Matter, this one, to me, is the one that makes the most sense. You've got the police officer that was choked, who died. He was selling cigarettes, and he wouldn't follow the commands. I mean, they're all
Michael Brown, the Ferguson one,
which was another false narrative that was created in the other direction. But anyway, this was just a horrible, horrible thing. So now, today, we find out that George Zimmerman is suing Trayvon Martin's family, his parents, and others for $100 million. George Zimmerman, the man who killed Trayvon Martin and was found not guilty due to stand your ground, is suing
his heartbroken parents
and a few other people for $100 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't this really say everything about George Zimmerman?
The claim for the lawsuit is that they had fake evidence and a false witness. It's like,
he won.
You won the case. Won.
Who cares?
What are you talking about, Zimdog? You won the case.
Will he win this?
No. I think it'll be tossed pretty quick.
I would almost give to a GoFundMe for the Martin family if they have to somehow spend money defending them. This is so insulting. I mean, this is really OJ-esque, isn't it?
Very much so. Now, it really gets fun because tomorrow there's going to be a press conference with his lawyer, George Zimmerman. And what I think is the real point behind this lawsuit is the director of the documentary, when they'll have a screening right after the press conference for the documentary, the Trayvon Martin hoax.
Can we watch the trailer for the hoax,
if you want,
by the
it
way?
It really seems like the star of the trailer, by the way, in the documentary is the guy that did the documentary. Isn't it a little weird when documentaries feature the guy doing it a lot? Isn't that the sign of a questionable documentary?
I think the guy's got to be really good, because there are a few people who I really enjoy in documentaries. But yeah, sure. Quite often, like the Jacob Dylan one about Canyon Valley or whatever.
Well, I did like the Amazing Jonathan. Echo Canyon. The Amazing Jonathan one became about the documentary maker about halfway through.
That's true. Anyway, let's see how this. Maybe they'll change my mind.
Oh yeah, right. I'm sure.
This one, correct?
I think so. It's on YouTube as well.
My message is to the parents of Trayvon Martin. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon.
The shooting death of Trayvon Martin was ground zero for racial division in America.
Trayvon Martin was killed for wearing a hoodie, quite frankly.
I decided to produce a film on how the case affects American politics to this day. It had started as a self-defense case. But then, out of the blue, they found Trayvon's girlfriend.
She is a minor child.
This phone witness led to the most racially divisive trial since OJ. The girlfriend had written Trayvon's mother a letter.
I put it in a box.
Captivated. Did you sign it at the bottom?
Yes.
What name did you use?
Diamond Eugene.
My investigation started with Trayvon's 750-page cell phone records. I made a shocking discovery. Trayvon did have a girlfriend named Diamond Eugene, but she wasn't the witness at the trial. To understand what really happened, I knew I had to find the real diamond. My research took me to the back
alleys.
You won
the case.
You
don't understand
maybe
it.
Can help me find diamond.
Yeah, maybe do.
Pause for a second.
To the heist.
Okay. George Zimmerman didn't lose the case.
What a piece of shit movie.
So if the other side did something unethical, what didn't damage George Zimmerman? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. And is it really that unusual when the prosecution or the defense, either through paid witnesses, paid experts, or through witnesses who shade their testimony? I mean, couldn't we find perjury in any single case virtually of this nature?
Yeah.
The great sleuth.
I mean, honest to God, who fucking cares?
I don't know.
Oh, that mystery.
But oh well. What else is this?
Schools of Miami Gardens. To Florida's capital city of Tallahassee.
Not sure is a mystery.
And finally, to Sanford, Florida, where I got to know George Zimmerman.
Okay, pause it.
For the
pause
first
it.
Time.
What would he have to do with the Trayvon? I mean, that has nothing to do with the hoax of the girlfriend.
It has zero impact on him.
It has nothing to do with it.
The way, if he met him, then I think he would go, you know, he's such an asshole. I think I'll just forget the whole thing.
Do you like how the director put his hand on the scales of justice? Yeah, they got very, very powerful.
Oh, I just started getting a clue.
He revealed Trayvon's last words.
I heard him say, "Tell Mama Alicia, I'm sorry."
What does that mean?
Found fuck you.
Where Rachel confessed to prosecutors.
Wait, pause for a second.
What does that have
Tell
to do?
Tell Mama Alicia, I'm sorry. What does that mean? I'm sorry that I beat the fuck out of this guy and he had to shoot me, which I deserved? What we're supposed to take from that?
Why would anybody believe anything out of that asshole's mouth anyway?
I have no idea.
Anyone's last words. I
can't imagine why anyone would believe George Zimmerman.
Over the map.
By the way, has he ever revealed that before?
No.
Why is he telling us now?
This guy's getting to the bottom of the hoax girlfriend, which has nothing to do with him.
I can't remember. Did George Zimmerman testify for himself?
No.
Of course he didn't. So that's so interesting.
Wait, did he in another case? Do we remember him on the stand in another case?
One from the gas? Was it a gas station? Or
I don't know.
Yeah, I've got a raging clue right now.
Okay, let's see.
Yvonne's last words.
I heard him say, "Tell Mama Alicia, I'm sorry."
Shut then up. I found a tape where that? Rachel confessed to prosecutors.
Real guilty.
Why do you feel real guilty?
I ain't know about.
Huh?
I ain't know about it.
Confessed to what?
Finally, I found Trayvon's real girlfriend, Diamond Eugene.
Boy, she's pretty hot.
Wow. I was then able to reconstruct the shocking story of what really happened the month before.
How would they ever mistake
shooting.
That girl for that girl?
I used forensic handwriting analysis and even
their
DNA
sisters.
To confirm what I had uncovered, that Diamond was switched for a fake witness in a murder trial in the most stunning
and
hoax in American judicial history, a hoax whose consequences have been tragic beyond anyone's imagination.
That sure is a mystery.
In telling this story, my hope is to show
what
how politicians and the media have pulled us apart when our shared aspirations have always been to come together as one nation.
It has nothing to do with that witness.
I gotta say, the stock footage he uses is just awesome.
Oof.
Two of the black hand and the white hand coming together and the American flag waving.
Powerful.
And did you guys see me win that conversation?
The scales of justice,
really,
that was really
intense.
Something.
Yeah, they tip. Sometimes they tip.
And his case igniting Ferguson and then all the way across the country and shattering it in half.
The girlfriend's really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the real girlfriend.
The fake girlfriend is not as attractive.
That helped the prosecution lose the case.
Doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It's going to be a conspiracy theory. This is going to blow up into a big thing.
Of course.
I don't think so. I don't think there are many people who want to stand behind George Zimmerman anymore.
If I see this director on a new show, I'm going to lose my mind.
I think
like a pundit interview.
Oh, I know. It would be quite disturbing. I think this theory is touching the scale of justice. I think this is similar to when the O.J. Simpson trial was going on. If you polled white America and black America, you know, you get almost reverse results. But as time goes on and most people view the way O.J. acts, you know, how the way he attacks the Brown family, and it's just not how someone would act if they really felt badly about this person dying. And he attacks Fred Goldman. Yeah. I mean, he's just – and I think as time went on, I think the black community would tell you that O.J. did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it? I think we've seen polls to that effect. And I suspect that a lot of the people that supported George Zimmerman would now say that, yeah, he's guilty. I think they would now.
Yeah.
After all he's done since then.
Once the emotion is taken out of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where does he live? He's strolling around there in Florida with that guy, the documentary maker. So where's he? Are his neighbors? I mean, what do you think?
He's down in Florida somewhere. Because remember,
living next door to George Zimmerman.
Yeah. I know, and he thinks his goatee is cool too, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which really bothers me.
Remember, he's going to hire that alligator to eat Jay-Z or something. Is this the documentary? No, that was a different one. Jay-Z was.
Yeah, Jay-Z's doing that one. George Zimmerman. I really believe that when George Zimmerman became a thing, like, I support George Zimmerman, this guy, this hoodie-wearing troublemaker, you know.
Yeah.
I think when someone like George Zimmerman, who's a loser and a total zero, he's less than zero. Mm-hmm. When someone like that gets all these people behind him, I think he loses complete perspective and thinks he's not a zero.
Yeah.
That he's someone special and important.
Yeah.
And everything almost from there on, right? All bets are off on George Zimmerman from here on out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, there's megalomania taking place.
He has a pathological addiction to himself.
He does. Yeah. The person that really, you know, wanted to be somebody. I mean, just wanted to be a rent-a-cop or something. I mean,
yeah, he wanted to be a badass. Guy. And he wasn't.
No. Wasn't at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he got the mistaken impression that, I showed that guy.
I killed a child.
The
Remember
phone
the
call.
Uproar about Trayvon's picture too. Like, yeah. You're using that happy picture of him. Here's a real picture where he looks like a thug.
It didn't matter. He was going to his father's house.
None of that mattered.
And
it was
George
all
Zimmer
noise.
Was told to back off. Ugh. And he ends up killing the guy. This phone call or this witness that they're making this to do over. Diamond Eugene was Trayvon's hot girlfriend, and she was on the phone with him shortly before this happened. And you can hear a little hubbub in the background. Isn't Zimmerman coming up to him at that point?
Yes.
And I think that he hung up, didn't he? Did she hear him get killed? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But whatever happened, apparently Diamond Eugene, this is what they're saying, would not testify. So they substituted her half-sister, who was, I think she was in the room with her, and she knew about all this, but she was not the one that was actually on the phone with him because she was willing to testify while his girlfriend did not want to testify. And I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. No idea. That's what they're saying. But in the end, he won the case.
Yeah, I know.
So he killed this guy who he was not supposed to follow, who was going to his dad's house. He murdered him. Didn't serve any time, was punished not one bit. In fact, his ego was puffed up dramatically by all the support. And now he's suing the parents of the dead kid for $100 million.
That's great.
Do you remember how the fake Diamond Eugene, kind of how she got busted?
I don't. I don't even remember her, to be honest.
It was because of a letter that was written by the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she signed it or whatever. Well, she couldn't read it back because she couldn't read cursive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's part of the guy that was in the trailer. Yeah,
she didn't seem terribly sharp.
And when everybody saw her on the stand, they're like, oh, God, no, that can't be Trayvon.
That shifts public opinion a lot of times. Something like that.
Yeah, they're cheating.
Oh God.
Yeah, and they're all red herrings. It's all noise.
I remember at the time, because I was working political radio, I remember at the time that people were saying, why do they just keep showing the good picture of him where Trayvon's smiling? And well, I know, thanks for listening to the podcast, but still, I'm just saying.
He's going to his father's house.
But not only that, but they were also... God, I'm trying to think of all the talking points because we had to battle through this one over in the political realm.
Who did your host support?
The morning guy, Ron Jolly, was very neutral on the whole thing because I know where I was going with it. The fact that Obama had said that he's going to look like me, so every single
my son, yeah.
So every single person that hated Obama at the time,
right.
was just like, well, screw that. I mean, Obama's trying to shift the ruling of this judgment and. So the morning guy
his black attorney general decided not to charge him with a hate crime. So I don't know, whatever.
The morning guy was very, Ron Jolly was very neutral, but Norm Jones, the firecracker, he was very, very pro George Zimmerman.
I don't know how you can be pro George Zimmerman. I don't get it. Because this guy was a thug who was looking to be challenged by someone when he was going to his dad's house so he could beat the fuck out of him and kill him.
But the narrative at the time was that he was up to no good, that he wasn't just walking home, that he was breaking into places, that he was doing this, and that George Zimmerman was trying to protect his community.
No, he wasn't. He was going to his dad's house.
There was no evidence of that.
He had gone to the store to get candy,
Skittles.
I think. Hadn't he bought
Skittles and
an
iced tea.
Yeah, he was on his way home. And again, I thought the story started and ended, and I didn't understand why this wasn't a bigger deal, with the 911 call. Yep. Okay, back off. We got a policeman coming over, which, by the way, is a waste of police resources.
It really is.
You know, just to be safe, because we get a lot of calls from idiots like you, we're going to send someone over. And he is an idiot. He's proven it over and over and over.
And didn't, according to the transcripts, didn't he say, or wasn't it like, no, I got to get in there right now. And they're like, no.
Do we have the 911? Why don't we play the 911 call? 111 call.
Yeah. Because I think they were adamantly trying to get him to back off, and he sounded like he was just like, "Well, I got to go. I got to take care of this kid doing nothing."
Yeah, this kid doing nothing, walking home from the store.
I think it's 10 minutes long. So.
Oh, is it that long?
Yeah.
Remember when George Zimmer, didn't he auction off the gun, too, and didn't Racist McShootface buy it?
That's the name that bought it, Racist McShootface.
Yeah.
Something's going on with him.
He's going to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
His voice.
Oh, he's got something in his hands. A gun. No, you have the gun.
Are you following?
That's why he assumed
the assholes always get away, he says. We don't need you to do that.
He assumes everyone has a gun because he does.
Yeah, back it up a little bit. Just a hair, Brandon.
His deal is. They always get away.
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Wait. Well. But then you did follow him.
Is this a different one?
They always get away. What the?
These assholes, they always get away.
You are the criminal.
You need police, fire, medical. Maybe both. I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside. Okay. And is
it's Trayvon screaming in the background.
Yelling, help, help, go away.
And you don't know why? I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone.
There's
a gunshot. Does he look hurt?
Now he does.
I can't
get on the ground.
I don't know what's going on.
Zimmerman's yelling, "Get on the ground!"
They're sending. So you think he's yelling help? Yes. All right. What is your number? There's gunshots.
How did this fucking guy get off? I just don't get it. Play it again.
He's bleeding.
Now. Hearing this, it doesn't exactly sound like Trayvon's kicking his ass as much as...
Not really.
As much as we've heard.
How do we know Zimmerman didn't bang his head on the ground a couple times and create some blood?
I'm just going to go with that.
Maybe both. I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside. Okay. And is it a male or a female?
It sounds like a male.
Okay, and you don't know why?
I don't know why. I think they're yelling help, but I don't know. Just send someone quick. Say, stop.
Okay. Does he look hurt?
Pause for a second.
I can't see him. I don't want.
Up till that point, they're saying that Trayvon Martin's yelling, "Help! Help! Go away!" And then and you see the only thing Zimmerman says, "Get on the ground."
And oh, that's
shit. I can't. It's hard, it's hard to tell. I don't know who someone put this video out and defined what's being said.
Someone is saying too that it sounds like Lyle and Eric Menendez are in the background.
I want to go out there. I don't know what's going on. So they're sending. So you think he's yelling help?
You'll get off.
Yes. All right. What is your number?
There's gunshots.
What's the source of this?
You just heard gunshots.
The description of what's being said.
Yeah.
I'd like to know too. I know, and I hate that you
opinion,
have to always think that.
Yeah.
Can we hear the Zimmerman side of what's being said?
Well.
Zimmerman YouTube post.
I got something in my hands. I'm going to kill you. George Zimmerman, I'm
You're killing me. I'm almost dead.
Stop banging my head amongst the cement.
Don't you dare stand your ground. I'm going to murder you. I just robbed three houses.
Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. It's Retrieve You Circle. The best address I can give you.
That's Zim Dog.
Zero.
Real suspicious.
This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something.
On
it's
drugs.
Raining, and he's just walking around looking about.
Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?
He looks black.
I'm Hispanic.
Did you see what he was wearing?
Yeah, a dark hoodie, like a gray hoodie, and either jeans or sweatpants and white tennis shoes. He's here now. He was just staring.
Oh, he's just walking around the area.
At all the houses.
Okay.
Just staring at all the houses. He's casing them.
Okay. So
wasn't he staring because he kept thinking, oh, somebody's
that's
following
the
me?
That's the clubhouse. Do you know what the... He's near the clubhouse right now?
Scared.
Yeah, now he's coming towards me.
Okay.
He's got his hand in his waistband.
Wait, let's pause for a second. I mean, he's really in his... He's got his hand in his waistband.
Yeah.
He's got a gun. He's casing houses. He's looking around. I mean, he's in his mind.
Yeah, he's already solved
this
the case.
Been a lot of break-ins. This guy looks really suspicious. Go ahead, play a little more.
He's a black male.
Okay.
Okay. How old would you say you'd look?
He's got a button on his shirt. Late teens.
Late teens, okay.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with him.
Something's wrong with him. No, something's wrong with you, yep. Dick.
He's coming to check me out. He's got something in his hands. I don't know what his deal is.
Okay, just let me know if
he's going to his dad's house.
Yeah, we got him on the way. Just let me know if this guy does anything else.
Does anything else? Okay. What did he do?
Walked. Yeah. He walked.
They always get away. Down towards the other entrance of the neighborhood.
Okay, which entrance is that he's heading towards?
The back entrance.
Where's dad is?
Are you following him?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need you to do that.
Okay.
He keeps walking, you can hear him.
This guy's way too scary for you to follow him.
All right, sir, what is your name?
George. He ran.
All right, George, what's your last name?
Zimmerman.
And George, what's the phone number you're calling from? All right, George, we do have him on the way. Do you want to meet with the officer when they get out there?
Yeah.
All right, where are you going to meet with him at? Okay, do you live in the area?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's your apartment number? Okay, do you want to just meet with him right near the mailboxes then?
Yeah, that's fine.
Let him know to meet you with the out there.
Actually,
okay.
could you have him call me and I'll tell him where I'm at?
Shut the fuck up, no you idiot. Could you have him call me? Why should a cop fucking call you?
He's George Zimmerman. God. Doesn't anybody know? He's George Zimmerman.
The guy that stabbed an iPad.
That's right. Don't stab.
He did. He stabbed an iPad.
Don't stab an iPad. Nobody stabs an iPad.
Not even me.
Oh, my God. Ooh-ha-ha. What a dope. Wow. Hey, so the Chicago police chief?
Yeah. What's any new info on him?
You know, all that I was able to... We should have asked Skin about it. Skin knows things. Is that, you know, he was drunk and asleep behind the wheel. He said it was his medication that made him fall asleep. But it appears that he was drinking for many hours at this bar, drove home, was too fucking wasted, pulled over, which is smart, and fell asleep on the steering wheel. Well,
who hasn't done that?
He said he had a couple drinks, which is apparently not true. And also, I guess he was, somebody saw him kissing, making out with his female security guard. Who he was drinking with.
Nice having a female security guard.
Bodyguard.
I know. I thought that was interesting, too. Hey, can we bring up a picture of the female security guard?
Somebody's got a case of the sleepies.
I don't know if they've identified her, but it seems like if we said Eddie Johnson, Chicago chief Eddie Johnson's female security guard, something.
No, I bet since he's the chief, had the choice between getting a male and a female security guard.
Yeah.
Maybe he was...
He promoted her, too.
Maybe he's hooking up with her before she became part of the security team.
He did hire her and promote her.
This is his wife.
Yeah, she's a lot younger than him.
She's very pretty.
She is. 43, he's 59.
That's her?
Yeah, she's a cop.
Oh, the wife, yeah.
Yeah, the wife's a cop.
Wow. He has a type.
No security guard? Your way.
Can't find her.
Okay.
So
Did they name? They didn't name her, did they?
Oh, the bodyguard! I just connected it. The song.
What are you talking about? Is that her?
No.
She's pretty too.
Wow.
If you're even talking about him, only hot chicks show up.
I bet you she sang this to him.
Oh yeah.
She'd take a bullet for
turn
him.
Turn on.
She took a few shots from him.
She may have.
Well, so he's out then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
It's good that Chicago is really improving.
I want you two to kiss each other.
I don't know why I like that drop so much. It sounds so fake. There was a, as we're wrapping up here, because we're at the 229 mark. Look at how much value we give you for your download. 2 hours and 29 minutes. My goodness.
Yes.
Don't forget killercares.org, the auction, or they're worth the lodge, which is you're listening on this Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon or hopefully Thursday. Maybe you'll come out to the lodge, and there's many, many, many bartenders. Mickey Redman, Amy's with us, Amy Andrews, Erica Erickson, double E and double A are both there. And Huel comes late.
With his selfie stick.
Stoney and Wojo.
Mm-hmm.
And
Larry Murphy.
Larry Murphy's on our shift. You said there's a Piston or a former Piston.
Like Earl Cureton.
He's a great guy. He was there really last nice year. Guy.
Yeah. No, Larry.
Anyway, yeah, it's a great group, and it's a lot of fun, and it's I think it's mostly isn't it mostly our crowd?
And it has always been my go-to charity.
There's a lot of them. Yeah, it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a special night.
There's a number of people, it seems like I see them once a year at this event.
I like to help my kids. You know what I'm saying?
And it was always that way because Killer, you know, lived in the Keego Harbor area, and he knew a lot of the people, and so it just kind of went that way. But it's raised a lot of money, and the auction's great, and there's an auction at the event, too. 60 items, I think.
Yeah.
You can sign up for, and they do quite a great job. I must
if say. You give us money, then we'll, like, give it to other people or something.
I'm assuming there's no boner line today, Brandon?
No, I don't have a boner line. Right
is there
now.
Boner line activity?
Yeah, there is. We got some calls earlier that I dumped down. I'm not sure if I have enough to create.
What are people calling line. About? I'm just curious.
Oh, God. I
mean, boner line call? Are we getting as many calls as ever?
Yeah, it's still hit or miss. So, I think today we've gotten about 25. Over the weekend we had a ton, and that's why we had such a long boner line yesterday.
I see.
I haven't looked at the recent ones.
I think I ever sent a picture of his dump. This guy sends a picture of his Thanksgiving meal and just wrote, "This is gonna make a primo dump later on."
Yeah.
And so we wrote him back. What did you write back? Prove it? Or no, we wrote back. Did it?
Yeah, I just asked him if it did.
Reasonable question.
There were people that were upset with the podcast list from
Detroit.
So they called in about that and they wrote about.
Are they
that.
Popping off in the comments?
Yeah, just
are how, they really?
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because that other podcast was getting all the mentions. So I guess none of our audience reached Deadline Detroit.
Still got a lot of
as
stuff
much as
on
we
Amazon
plugged them.
The guy who wrote the column, his podcast.
Oh, that's convenient.
Was included in the list.
What? Really?
It should have been 10 other than mine then. Wow. If he wrote that list.
The guy, the author of that article is pretty young, so I'm not sure.
What?
Maybe he's not aware of
what that mean.
209-66 Boner. Is if you want to make comments on the show and make it on the boner line. And if you want to call and wish Denny well or call the No Filter Sports Show, it is 760-89-BALLS. And maybe we can reactivate ML's number one of these days soon.
Oh, I hope.
Which, we might have to just reactivate it because I got a notification that said, you haven't used it, we're closing it down if you
what?
Don't use it. So
okay, well, maybe some people will call it and welcome ML back, even though he's not back, or hope that he's back soon. 313-288-9070. And
I just want to say, too, I got a few emails, I'm sure you did, too, about Hillary Clinton being on Howard.
And oh, yeah, absolutely did, just, and I listened to some of it this morning.
Did you stay awake?
No. I you know, honestly, I don't really turn Howard off very often. I was going to 101. I was going to 97.1, yeah. Stoney and Jamie. And I listened to Dave and Chuck for a while. I came back to Howard, and Hillary Clinton was still on.
I listened to the whole thing. I know you did too, Brandon.
Does she understand amplified sound yet?
Well,
she had a major coughing fit twice.
I know.
The coughing
was kind
fit
of
was
hilarious.
That was actually very funny. I could tell Howard was killing time waiting for her to get her stop coughing.
You could hear her mute her mic, and you could still hear her cough on the other mic.
Yeah, there was a point where he asked her if she needed a cough drop. There was a later point where he asked her if she needed a glass of water.
She had one.
I was just trying to figure out why Howard wanted to have her on.
He liked her. He likes her. I mean, that's how he started the whole thing, is how much he admires her and appreciates her.
Well, I'm going to take him at his word. I just didn't think it was very entertaining because now if they had gotten to Epstein and a lot of other things, it could have been interesting. But you know, if somebody like her comes on any, she doesn't want to talk
Monica,
about that.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, maybe did they talk about any of that?
She did allude to at one point, and Howard was more talking about after the election, you know, going into psychiatry or getting help and to talking, like, who can she talk to? And she started saying that, yeah, she did, and she kind of, it was a little confusing, and then it came out that, oh, she's talking about in the late 90s.
Yeah, she had a lot going on, and she went for some counseling, but she didn't go to a medical doctor. She went to a psychologist.
Yeah. I'm bad!
But she was talking about then. That was kind of the thing that's being pulled out of it now is how she's like basically said that she's always liked men.
Yeah.
Like, not women.
Well,
like
there was a portion where, yeah, it was kind of alluding, hey, did you ever have a lesbian affair? And she, no, never.
Oh, he asked her that?
Yeah.
Did he? Well, that's a good question.
You know, because she was obviously promoting the book, which is about 100 greatest women that she loves.
Gutsy women,
they
yeah.
went through a whole bunch of the different women. And at
boring.
One point,
boring.
They're talking about boring. The adversity, and especially in today's age where, you know, we got social media and people are getting in trouble. And the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, what about this Monica Lewinsky who had to overcome? She was patient zero for. You know, yeah. internet cyberbullying. So,
and the bimbo and the bimbo eruption list from the first election. All the women they investigated, and they had responses for every one of them, which were, you know, Jennifer Flowers was, you know, it was tabloid trash for money, and so on and so forth.
She spoke about. I mean, she didn't say anything that you wouldn't expect her to say about politics today. I mean, she did kind of. Rag on Lindsey Graham, like what happened to Lindsey Graham, and
but she's never going to say anything. She's not going to say. Really, she's not going to really say something that. Oh my God! Did you hear what Hillary Clinton said? It doesn't matter who she's talking to.
Measured and
But maybe his audience. Well, maybe they really want to hear her. I wouldn't think so.
She should have done it like Howard's always said. She should have done this interview before the election because there were portions that humanized her, that made her look. You know, they talked about the Rolling Stones a lot and how she, you know, all these different people she's met, and so there were aspects of the interview that made her sound, you know, likable in a way.
It just sounded real ass kissy to me, which is I'm not used to hearing that out of him.
Yeah.
And I don't like anybody. I just am not a fan of kissing politicians' asses. Yeah. I just don't think they're that special. I mean, you know, maybe he really feels that way. I felt like there was some ulterior motive, like Howard wants to interview more people like her, and so maybe that was a chance to have her on and show that you can survive an interview with him at the highest levels.
Or maybe she's opening herself up because
of the book.
Because she did Conan, too, which I don't ever remember her being on Conan.
I think Chelsea was on that interview.
Ugh.
But, I mean, how interesting is that going to be to hear
not at all.
Someone that you go to for entertainment and they're spending 2.5 hours with Hillary Clinton? I don't.
She's not. I mean, we know so much about her and what she thinks. What else could we get out of her? That
is
we
the interview
care,
getting
care
it's,
about?
It's probably getting huge publicity.
It's getting a lot of major publicity.
Is it getting props?
I mean, the main things that I've seen, the main two things are the lesbian rumors that she shut down and the coughing fits. That's the main two.
That's the two takeaways.
That's interesting. Nothing about Epstein, nothing about Weinstein either.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty to say about that.
I'm sure those were off limits. Off limits.
Hey, by the way, Mark, I think I'm with you on two things.
What?
An F1 or an F16,
yeah, blowing
taking
up
out
the
palace. That would be so much fun.
Great.
To see that happen if they have somebody, you know, Selfridge.
Amen.
Scramble a jet, come Let's down, do it. Take it out.
Start a GoFundMe.
All the idiots with money out there now, I think anything's possible.
Oh, and the second thing is Yang, because he was doing ready whip shooters with people at his campaign.
He's so hard to support sometimes.
He's just shooting whipped cream into people's mouths at his campaign appearance.
And they were sort of symbolic.
Yes! I mean, they were on their knees.
The dudes' mouths or women's mouths? Because either way, it's weird.
And it was waist high, and then he went to a third guy in one of his campaigns. Was like,
right, come on.
Enough, Yang. You really don't get this, dude.
Get out of here.
Like, pulls him away.
But he didn't get it, though. So.
No, he doesn't get it.
He's above those things.
You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
That's all he needs is numbers, Dan. Look at the TV.
When I had Zimmerman,
they just showed
NBC News. When I was listening to Howard talking to Hillary Clinton, I flipped over to 101, and it was the Whack Pack playing out a porn script.
Why didn't he have Hillary do that?
I know. It's just so odd, because what pulls people into that show are, you know, like the phony phone calls we were talking about, which are hilarious. And, you know, what's the limo driver? Ronnie, the limo driver, getting pegged, and, you know, all this craziness and the Whack Pack, and, you know, when did they shit their pants last? And then here's Hillary Clinton. I don't know. It's just.
Oh, wow.
After only Howard.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah.
I don't know how his audience would respond, if they would think it was really cool, or maybe they lean. Maybe his audience votes Democratic. I would think his audience would kind of be all over the place, because he's kind of doesn't wade into politics that much. It's funny. I remember
I was surprised how long it went on.
Like, I know,
the real bad stuff was when she started talking about her family and the history.
Oh, and her and Bill first meeting. And did you hear that part?
Yeah, we've heard that.
I know. It's so boring.
It's all stuff we've heard. And Howard is usually really good at getting new stuff out of people. He did. He got the lesbian denial, I suppose.
All right. We'll see you at the lodge, hopefully. If not, we'll catch you tomorrow. Get you ready for the weekend. On the Drew and Mike Show!
I wanted Hillary Clinton for president, and I haven't given up on her yet.
Get out of here!